Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Ryan Baker. The PGA Championship round number 2 underway already this morning. Scottie Scheffler led a group at 6 at 3 under par after round 1. Scheffler teed off about 20 minutes ago. He's still on his first hole, though. You're a bunch of people on the course right now at minus 1. Low guys on the course for the day. The Cincinnati Reds bats exploded yesterday in a 15-1 win over the Washington Nationals. They head up I-71 to start the Ohio Cup with the Guardians at 7:10 tonight. You can hear that on the Fans HD3 at 6:40. NHL playoffs last night, the Montreal Canadiens took a 3-2 series lead over the Buffalo Sabres, winning 6-3. The Vegas Knights advanced to the Western Conference Finals, knocking off the Ducks 5-1. This one's sponsored by United Dairy Farmers. Try UDF's new ice cream quake flavors for the summer, only for a limited time.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lavery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
And so live on a Friday edition of the program, I am here, Bake is here, Joshua Perry is here. We're pretty loaded up. 10:30, Tim May dropping by, 11 o'clock. What we learned this week, Dudley Maurice at 11:30. I will not be, in the case of Joe Galloway and a few good men, strenuously objecting to something Doug says. We're prepared this week to say we don't care about Iowa. So we'll have a little bit of fun with that coming up at 11:30. What does, if someone tells you, both of you, you need to be here by 9, when do you show up?
Well, probably asking the wrong guy. I like be early. So, you know, give me 10, 15 minute buffer. I don't like to cut anything close.
You got a reservation for dinner at 7. What time are you walking in the door of the establishment?
6:53.
Bake?
So back when I was in broadcasting school, I was told if you're there on time, you're late. If you're there 15 minutes early, you're on time.
Okay.
So 7 o'clock dinner reservation, I'm going to try to get in the door about 6:45.
Okay. Yeah. I'm probably more aligned with Joshua than you. I don't know that I'd leave 15 minutes of leeway, but I'm also going to, if we have a dinner reservation at 7, then I'm going to be monkeying around with the ways and making sure that there's not some sort of a traffic issue that I'm going to have to overcome. I would just tell you this. The lengths that I go to in life to not be late are extreme. I think it is one of the most selfish things that you can be is late for anything. And some of that could be, Joshua, it's not surprised that you had that answer. Not surprised Bake had that answer. Joshua's a football player. There's not a football coach you ever played for who was like, yeah, just be strapping up your chin strap for an 8 o'clock practice at 8 o'clock. I mean, there's not one. Like, there's zero that has ever done that in your life. Bake and I both played sports when we were younger, but certainly not at your level, but we've done this for a long time. You can't be late for this. You can't be late. You can't come on 9:02. No. Too late. 3 says, I would love to be 5 minutes early. However, my lovely wife, which gets me, I have thwarted. This is what drives absolutely nuts with my wife and children. They do not share this belief at all. And so it is an up at dawn siege every single day to actually be on time, which for me is early. My wife views on time as a suggestion. 7 o'clock reservation is a suggestion for her. If I can be there, we can. But if not, oh, it's no big deal. I'll just call ahead. And then you got to make that call, and there's stress with all that. I'm like, just give yourself 5 more minutes. That's a whole thing that we'll deal with in marriage counseling when that time comes. We had this manifest in sports yesterday. Day one of the PGA Championship, a South African golfer named Garrick Higo was 1 minute late for his tee time. And as he's walking up to the tee time, maybe you've seen this by now, maybe you haven't, he's handed a card that says you have a 2-shot penalty. So they penalized him 2 shots in the PGA Championship for being 1 minute late. So unexcusable. You're a professional golfer. Be there at your tee time on time. Be there 2 minutes early, whatever. I understand you don't want to stand there for a bunch of time, but time is finite. It is what it is. Get there. He didn't. 2-shot penalty. What's most amazing about this is the guy still shot 69. Which is crazy.
He'd be tied for the lead right now.
That's exactly right. He'd be tied with the lead for the lead right now. He then had one of the most stupefying series of explanations to defend. You be the judge. This is from Golf Channel last night. This is from live at the PGA on Golf Channel last night. You're going to hear from Garrick Higo first, and then you're going to hear from some of the Golf Channel folks trying to make sense of it. Go ahead.
I was there on time, but the rule is if you're 1 second late, you're late. So if you think about it, I was there on time, if you know what I mean. But
I don't quite know. No, what is it when you say that you were there on time but late?
What's like I was there at 7:18:30.
And you know 7:18 was the tee time?
Yeah, or something like that, 7:19, whatever it was. I don't know.
I always cut it pretty fine. There's a lot of us who do. We don't want to get to the tee box 10 minutes early and be cold. You know, we have to hit it far and straight. It's our job to do that. You have 5 minutes then until you're DQ'd. So, I guess I could have taken five minutes longer or, you know, just under that.
Just to be 100% clear, when you walked to the tee, it was a surprise to you when they said 2-stroke penalty, you're late?
No. It wasn't a surprise. I was late.
There's nothing I can do about being late. I'm already late. I'm already in the clouds a little bit as it is. So, it is what it is. I mean, I don't know what else to do. I think it shows a lot of mental strength, the way I just kept fighting, and it wasn't going to affect my swing or my putting. So,
all right. I was obviously there on time, but late. I'm guessing he does not know who Yogi Berra is, but when you come to the fork in the road, you take it. He took it. Go, help me out with.
Well, no, I can't make any sense of that. I thought it was the most bizarre interview I've ever seen. Going back to, do you remember Sergio Garcia 2007 Open Championship? Now that one was just sad, but it was equally bizarre. This was bizarre, but one of the funniest interviews I've ever heard. I was on time, but I was late. And then later he said, "No, I was late, and I didn't know that 1 second late was late." You got to give him a lot of credit for turning things around, but you're going to be watching TV a long time before you see something that funny in an interview room.
Between him and Block's interview, I thought I was watching a series of The Office. I'm still trying to figure out the logic of both. And is it actually serious or are they having fun?
How's that happen, by the way? He's on the range. He was at the golf course at a little bit after 5. I mean, how in the hell does that happen?
That's our Pets Heads Falling Off edition of the post-round interview. Making sense of that. God bless him for continuing to do the interviews. The only thing I think I could take from it, I give him big tip of the hat for like being able to shoot 69 despite it. Yeah. I mean, that part's remarkable. That he was able to do that and still be in the mix after being given a 2-shot penalty. He did make one point that I thought was kind of good. He said, I got there. If this is indeed true, if it was a 7:18 tee time and he got there at 7:18:30, is that still on time? Cause he's within the 18 minute.
Right.
This is a real factor. This is a 2-shot penalty in a major.
When the clock flips over to 18, that's it.
That's it.
Right. Like if we got a 7 o'clock meeting at the Woody, right? Mm-hmm. If you come in at 7 o'clock and 30 seconds, you're late.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay, so I'm with you on that. But for a second, I did start to think about it.
Yeah, I'm still trying to parse through like, all the things he said, too.
7:18:30 is still in the 7:18 minute of the... It's still in the 18th minute of the 7th hour of the day.
Yeah.
So he may have a point.
So I'm guessing at a PGA championship, you're not teeing off earlier than the scheduled time. And probably sometimes, I don't know, they have these things scheduled out pretty well. But I'm guessing sometimes maybe it's even after. If you're scheduled for 7:18, maybe you're teeing off at 7:20. I don't know. We just gave Tyvus a whole load of crap for being late to the basketball tournament when they started 10 minutes
well,
early.
Come on, that was...
Well, this is bigger stakes.
Oh, no, I didn't.
This is bigger stakes here. And I can't believe they let him play. I can't believe you have up to 5 minutes being late before you're DQ'd.
Yeah.
I also wonder if we get to Sunday... Mm-hmm. And he loses this thing by a stroke, if he'll have the same tone in his interviews.
This was the only thing I would say I would have to ask, and the great folks around the Memorial Tournament would have a finite answer on this probably in a millisecond. What is the universal clock? So, obviously, if you have digital, like if you have an iPhone or if you have an iWatch or you have something like that, well, then that's universal. But if you have a watch... If you're playing with a watch or any sort of other method of time, are you being held accountable by the giant Rolex watch that's there at the tee box? Or is there somebody with a digital phone because 30 seconds here or there, unless you have a digital watch, that's pretty damn precise to penalize somebody two shots.
I would guess, Bo, that those clocks that you see on those golf courses, like those big Rolex clocks and whatnot. Yeah. I would guess those are set to like time.gov, what is ever on your iPhone or your phones, whatever they're run by. I'm guessing those clocks are set to that. Like we've got big digital clocks in the studio here, and those are set to that universal time. So I would guess everything is.
Yeah, like that 30, if he was just 30 seconds late, that's pretty wild.
How could you not want to be there waiting, though?
That's I agree. Of what course. Are we doing? We're all there. Be there 5 minutes early. You tee off at 7:18. Be there by 7:14. Give yourself plenty of time. That's established. I just think like the technicality of this, the tightness of this, if it is only 30 seconds, is pretty... That's a big time penalty.
I mean, for 30 seconds. Rules for a reason, though. Like you could take it all the way up to 59 seconds and be like, oh, I was still here. Like, at what point are we drawing the line?
What clock is the universal clock? It's got to be that digital clock.
It has to be.
That's got to be the one. And he had said that he put his phone and his watch off at the clubhouse or whatever. He left it there, and so he didn't have it. Well, then it's on his caddy. At that point, it's on the caddy to say, dude, you got 30 seconds to get there. And I assume they all know this.
Yes.
I assume they all know it. But the idea that he still shot 69 is absolutely stupefying. You know what else is stupefying? The fact that there are guys out here in stocking caps because we're playing this absurd thing in May. Like, what are we doing? They moved this so that they could play in the Southeast and the Southwest, and the wind is blowing about 40 miles an hour, and there are guys playing in stocking caps for a major. Like, this is not what it's supposed to be by any way, shape, or form. We'll have a little fun on the program today. An iconic series is going to get a little bit of a reboot. We will get to that. The NFL schedule is out. We are off and running on a Friday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
Feeling stressed?
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll call it partly cloudy for the rest of the day. Overall, pretty pleasant. Just a little cooler than average with highs around 71. For the overnight hours, lows fall to 56 with increasing clouds. On Saturday, a little unsettled from time to time. We'll have occasional showers and a few thunderstorms out there. Looks like the best chance is going to be early in the day, then some additional redevelopment possible later in the day. Warmer and more humid, highs around 80. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan. Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast. Or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And we'd love for you to join us at the Fan 5K presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. It's a 5K run, 1 mile walk. It's Saturday, June 20th at Otterbein. Some of your favorite fan personalities will be there. Brother Bone, Tyvus, Mann, Timmy, Reese will be there. Every participant gets a finisher's medal, a race shirt, free photos, and awesome gifts from Logan Services. The Fan 5K is presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. Sign up today at 971therace.com. Got this on social. This explains, I think, the whole time thing pretty good. Charles T. Wilson with this. 1830 is 30 seconds into the 19th minute, just like 1950 is 50 years into the 20th century. Similarly, when you turn 40, you've just completed your 40th year and are beginning your 41st. I could have used him at Y2K. I'll tell you that.
And we're dealing with this year, right, with the memorial where the 50th memorial was last year, but this is the 50th year of the memorial.
This is the 50th anniversary.
Yes, correct.
But last year was the 50th memorial.
Yeah. I believe that's... So we're doing 50 twice.
Yeah, we can't get it aligned, these things.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure I feel about that. No, the overwhelming point we're all on the same page with.
Yes.
5 minutes early.
Right. Right.
How does your family, how are you doing? How's Maddie handle that? Is she down with that five minutes early?
She's generally an early person. Like, she doesn't want to be the last one walking in anything, which I'd certainly appreciate. You know where I'm at. Like, Urban would tell you, you got a meeting at 9 o'clock. Like, you know, you better be ready to start that thing at 8:50. Like, everybody should be in the room. So that's kind of how I operate. But the thing that changes everything, Bo, and you know this, the kids don't give a damn.
No,
they don't care. No. And especially as young as mine are, like, I'm like, we gotta be out of the house. And James is like, I want to play with my lawnmower. Like, no, brother, we got to get in the car.
Buddy,
get your shoes on.
We're belting you. Now, you can have a couple of type of seat belts. You can have the one that you can have a little bit of freedom, or you can have the one where we lock you up like Hannibal Lecter and you can't move. It's your choice, brother. However you want this to go. Mine, unfortunately, follow the way of my wife's thought, where time is a suggestion versus something that is finite.
Isn't that such a nice way to live, though? Right? Like those
people. Her way or mine?
Well, her way, because there's less stress, right? You're stressed because you're trying to get somewhere and you're trying to do it in proper time and you want to be respectful. And she's like, when we get there is when we get there.
I'm stressed because of her mentality about time. If she was on my wavelength, then there would be no stress. It would be easy. And I would suggest that once that you have her mentality, the stress comes later. You're basically choosing when you're going to have a hardship. You're either going to have to get up or get moving 5 minutes earlier, or you're going to have the chaos at the end of trying to get to someplace late.
That's fair.
So, and the there is nothing worse to me than if you're late and then things go wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I was always of the belief of give yourself a buffer so that if things that are unforeseen happen, you're still on time.
Right.
I don't ever want to have to make that call, and I've had to do it 1,000 times. I hate making that call of we're running late, we're going to be late, our bad train tracks, blah, blah, blah. Like, figure it out. Figure it out. Now, sometimes you're going to have weather that's extreme or whatever, and there's nothing you can do with that. Traffic accident, who knows? But other than that, like, come on, build it in, Vic.
Bo, I'm a little surprised that your wife is like that coming from the TV background, because everybody that I know from TV, like, you have talked about it before. Yeah. I think I've heard talk about it. I know Lascelles has talked about it a lot, where you have this recurring dream where you're late.
Yeah.
And you have to be on air right now and you can't get there, or something's wrong and you can't get your teleprompter to work or this to work right. And so I'm a little surprised that she's like that.
You're telling me.
I'll push back.
So am I.
I will push back so hard on that. I've worked with two people in this business that literally you've got 15 seconds and they don't even have a mic on. Like where they're throwing
live?
Yes, and they're throwing live the shows, mic on while the open is running. Like, I don't know how they do this, but I've worked with two people specifically that are like that. And anytime you've got something that's taped, or you're doing a pre-tape or whatever the case is, like time in that is a suggestion. People in TV love to be like, oh, yeah, we're doing 3:30 pre-tape and it's like 3:48 and you're still waiting for somebody to hop on their feed so you can get going.
There was I did some stuff at the now defunct Ohio News Network when I first moved to Columbus, and they taped all of their stuff and then they would put it together and it would air throughout the day like a 24/7. And this is how like 24/7 news works, right? Not some of it's live, but not all of it is. And so it used to drive me nuts. They'd be like, we're taping at 2:30, and I would be there at 2:25 ready to tape. But then sometimes control room wasn't ready. We could studio camera operators like moseying in.
Oh, we still got to cut a tape.
What are we doing, man? Like, this is, and the craziest thing about all of this, and we all realize this as we're getting a little bit older, and JP, now that you got young kids, like it's really going to hit you. Time is really the only commodity that really matters.
Yes.
Everything else comes and goes, but the time is finite and how you use it is critical. And as I get older, it's even more important to me. Like, I do not want to waste time on anything. Nothing. Like, tell me when to be there. Let's do it as efficiently as possible. There's more stuff I want to chew up in this day. I don't have that many left. That's it. By the way, last night, how is there no NBA last night? How are the two NBA games both on Wednesday and Friday? To me, it feels like at any point they should have just diverted one of those series so that there was a game every single night. There's two series still going. I understand that the schedule worked that way, that the other two series were on the opposite days and they both finished. But just swap a day at some point, even if it means playing on a back-to-back. Like, this is all just television shows anyway. To not have an NBA game on last night, there was the hockey games were on, and the Canadians beat the Sabres 6-3. The Golden Knights, pretty good goal by Marner, by the way. Maybe it wasn't his fault in Toronto. I'm
a little underselling it, I think. This is one of the best goals ever.
It really is. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So it'll be Vegas and Colorado in the Western Final, and then Carolina will wait Buffalo, Montreal. But it was strange to me that they didn't find a way to get an NBA game on last night as I was kind of bouncing around after picking the kids up.
It was probably for the better, if you're ESPN at least. I mean, you know, they had like, you know, 5 hours of scheduled content that they were just able to fill. You know, like, they were probably feeling pretty good about that. So, I'm with you. I would have rather watched
Amazon.
Else.
They're Amazon, aren't they?
Hmm?
Yeah, those series are on Amazon tonight, I think.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's so, what I'm saying. Like, I don't think
they could have thrown one in there.
I think the NBA is probably not too mad that they didn't have to deal with sickos competing for their eyeballs.
I think it's interesting because you talked about it just already scheduled out and they're sticking with it. The NHL has already announced the schedule for both the Western and the Eastern Conference Finals. So, yeah, like, even if Montreal wraps this thing up the next game, they're not starting till a certain time. And yeah. Vegas and Colorado are both wrapped up, but they're not starting the Western Conference Finals until Wednesday.
I think that's pretty risky to me with the attention span of a sports fan in this day and age. Like, you got some momentum. It seems like they're rating pretty well. Why would you not start that sucker Sunday? I mean, that's a long wait. Because Colorado's been done since yesterday. No, Wednesday. So it's going to be a week between games for Colorado. Yeah, I just keep them coming. Keep the games coming. In this day and age, folks' attention span just is not there. Keep these games coming as fast as you can. Speaking of games, the NFL released its schedule, and there is so much football coming your way. There are so many instances where the NFL schedule has now just bullied itself into other sports' schedule. Will there ever be sanity in scheduling of our football? We will get to that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends, right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
All right, here's what's up on a Friday. The NFL schedule is out. Yesterday was release day. All the NFL teams did their creative little videos yesterday. I only saw one stray from that Mike and Diana took, and that was from the Chargers. They took a stray from them, but I didn't see it anywhere else. But Braves did take a stray in that one on their schedule release video. A lot of creativity in all of those. The thing that jumped out to me was something that was made abundantly clear even before the schedule release videos came out, guys, and that is that the NFL is in business in the biggest possible way with a capital B. And they are, for the longest time, the NFL has potentially, I think you could probably argue, has taken less for this need to make sure that they stay on network television, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've been bleeding into the streamers for the last several years, and you see it here and there. Well, that's full on now, and it's been full on. You've had Thursday Night Football on Amazon for a while now, but it's full on now in terms of the holiday schedule as well. So this year, just think of this big picture. Just go back a few years for me if you will. Think about Thanksgiving weekend. Thanksgiving weekend historically was the NFL played the Cowboys and the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. That's it. That's the list. Black Friday, the Friday after, was the game when LSU would play Arkansas. You'd have the Egg Bowl sometimes on that Black Friday, and that was kind of a college football day, and then you'd have the college football weekend. Now jump ahead to Christmas. Christmas, the NBA said, hey, we're going to play Christmas Day games about 25 years ago, and people went, hey, that's kind of cool. Let's play Kobe versus LeBron on Christmas, and you can kind of own that. And then let's jump ahead to New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Unless it fell on a Sunday, those are college football days. Those are bowl games. That's, you know, Sugar Bowl is on New Year's Eve. New Year's Day is the orange and the rose and the fiesta and the rest of it. And away we go. Well, the NFL's choosing violence. They've mm-hmm. been choosing violence for a while, but this is even beyond that. This year, you are getting a Thanksgiving Eve game. Again, this is the Green Bay Packers and the Rams. That's a Thanksgiving Eve game. So the greatest first Friday is now going to have an NFL game on it. Here's the trick, guys. It's on Netflix. So in bars where a lot of people are on that particular first Friday heading into Thanksgiving, likely won't be able to see it. Thanksgiving Day, again, they've got the two. They've got the Chiefs and the Bills. They've got the Eagles and the Cowboys, and they have the Lions hosting. I can't remember who the Lions are hosting on that day, but the Lions are in a game. I think the Bears.
The Bears, I believe.
Yeah, Bears. It's the Bears.
Yep.
Bears, yeah. And then you have Black Friday, Steelers and Broncos. Okay, fast forward to Christmas. They're playing Christmas Eve this year. The NFL is, for God's sakes. Houston at Philly on Christmas Eve. Then they're going to go three Christmas Day games, the first two on Netflix, the last one on Fox. Then they'd go New Year's Eve as well. They're playing a New Year's Eve game, which is on a Thursday. Now, they traditionally play on a Thursday, but they're playing a New Year's Eve game on Thursday. Ravens at Bengals is happening on New Year's Eve on a Thursday. Here is my question for you. It's two-parter. Number one, is this too much? And number two, do you foresee at any point Roger Goodell sitting down with the people that run college football and saying, hey, can we figure something out here where we're not stepping on each other's toes?
Is it too much? I think the answer is no. And the only reason I say that is because people are going to watch the games wherever they put them, regardless of all of the crying that college football people might do or fans saying like, man, you know, I got to be in the house now on Thanksgiving Eve because I'm trying to watch this game that's going to be on streaming and it won't be on at the bar. But the reality is the NFL has said like, okay, people are definitely home on holidays. Like this is the easiest way. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. It's the easiest way to get eyeballs, even in a product that continually gets eyeballs. So that would be my first part. Second mm-hmm. part about do the NFL and college football powers sit down and have a conversation? I think they're already doing that. I just don't think the NFL really cares. Like they're the conference commissioners, TV networks certainly have brought up these conversations about mm-hmm. Can you at least give us a little bit of breathing room? You know, can the days that we traditionally do this, can you not? And I think they're like, yeah, I mean, we'll try not to, but if we see an opportunity, we're going to do it. And mm-hmm. that's just the way that it is right now. Now, my thoughts on it, you have a free developmental league. Mm-hmm. You should respect that. But this is the NFL, they don't respect much anything except for the shield.
Well, I'm going to go a step further. Not only do they have a free developmental league, they have the greatest minor league system in the history of professional sports.
Absolutely.
They are delivered ready-made stars. Stars. They don't have to build a brand. These guys have they're already ready-made.
Yeah.
Like, it's the greatest minor league in the history of sports pick.
It is, and I think the one thing that I have realized in these past couple of years with sports is money is the only thing that matters and everything else be damned. Whether that be the fans, your minor league system, other leagues, the NFL is printing money. And you can ask people, like you can ask me if I think it's too much, and I do think it's too much, quite frankly. Like, I don't mind, I have not minded the college football playoff New Year's Eve game. Well, the NFL just crapped all over that. They're like, yeah, we're gonna put our game there, and you can do yours there if you want, but we're gonna take a lot of your viewership. And so what is college football gonna do? They're probably going to play a college football playoff game on New Year's Eve now, but they'll probably do it in the afternoon, I'm guessing, to try to get around that somehow. I think it's too much, but we have TV ratings that tell us we're consuming it like we never have before, and we love it. So maybe it's too much for me, but for the vast majority, and as long as those numbers are still high and they're making money like they are, they're going to not care about anything else.
So I think college football, the playoff this year, they're going Wednesday and Friday, because I think they were like, Thursday football. Right. We're not even going to try to approach this, even though this is a day that is traditionally ours. We're just not even going to play with it. We're going to do one game Wednesday. We're going to do the rest of them on New Year's Day, and they can have that, which is insane to me.
It's crazy. Here's another thing about, you mentioned the ratings, Bacon. You're right. Like, the ratings for these two things continue to grow bigger. This is one thing that I don't know that has been considered. When an NFL game goes head to head with a college game, the NFL game wins. And last year this happened on that Saturday of the college football playoffs, either the first round or the second round, you lose track. But it went, and the NFL won. So let's say the NFL does 19 million viewers head-to-head with college football, and the college football game does 9. Okay? If the college football game were not being played, does that audience not then just transfer, or a great percentage of that audience, wouldn't that just transfer to the NFL game?
You think?
Like, if you didn't have a college football game to watch, you're probably just watching the NFL game that's on. And the people who are watching the college football are the diehard college football fans, the people who love those two teams. Let's say it's Texas A&M and Miami last year, and it's going head-to-head against the Texans. Like, one year, Goodell chose violence. He put, like, the Ravens and the Steelers and then, like, the Texans and the Chiefs on that Saturday.
I think that was 2 years ago when Ohio State was in the playoff.
And it was like, whoa, that is choosing violence for Goodell. He's playing the hits, and he's trying to strangle college football. And I don't know why he is, to the points that we've all previously just made. But it's also undermining his own product a little bit. First of all, it's counterproductive. Like, they are going to be your players in a matter of time. Mm-hmm. So you're diminishing their window to be made stars at their own level. The second part of it is you're losing some of your ratings, because my contention would be, if 9 million people watch college football on a Saturday head-to-head against the NFL, probably 6 million of that 9 would then be watching the NFL if there weren't college football to be watched.
I don't think they care.
I know they don't care, but they should.
But their whole goal is to basically pound their chests all the time and be like, we're the hottest thing smoking. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we're up against. We don't care. We're the hottest thing smoking.
Let me play devil's advocate here for the NFL on this, too. We complain all the time about Ohio State being King Kong and not acting like King Kong and throwing their weight around when they should to get what they want. The NFL is doing what we want Ohio State to do. So how can I fault the NFL for doing what we want our team to do all the time.
You mean like be chesty and like own
and just
it.
Say not care. Like this is what makes us the most money. We're going to do this. Be damned to everyone else. We talk about Ohio State with that all the time. With they're their own entity. They don't need the Big Ten. They
no.
do things. They're a good partner to the Big Ten to their own detriment.
I think to take that analogy a step further, that would be like Ohio State playing. To what you're describing, that'd be like Ohio State playing every Ohio State game on a Friday night. Because then they would be eating
high school
their
football.
Feeder system.
Yeah.
That's what it would be. Because that's what the NFL is doing. They're squashing their feeder system. And their feeder system is the second most popular sport in this country.
Yeah.
And my suggestion would be, if there was true leadership in college football, true unified leadership, do I think you could go to Goodell and say, hey, you give us these two Saturdays in December, give us these Saturdays alone, give us, and then we'll give us New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, unless it falls on a Sunday, give us New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and then we'll play this sucker and we'll get it done by the second Friday in January,
okay.
January
right.
8th, 9th, good. Something like that. And then we're done. We're out of your hair. We're out of the way in January. All I'm asking for you is give me two Saturdays in December where I can play the first two rounds of this playoff, whether it's 16 or 24. Give me those, and I'm out of your hair in January. Why would Goodell not say yes to that?
So I think that's the I'm glad you brought it up that way. That's the biggest issue, is I don't even think that the college football leadership, who, once again, I believe is having these conversations with the NFL, I don't think they could walk in there and eloquently state exactly what they need from the NFL at this point, because the postseason structure is always changing and they don't know when they want to end. They don't know when they want the regular season to end. Yeah. Are they going to do conference championship games? They are so confused about what their own sport even looks like. You can't go into the NFL office and be like, hey, we need you to work with us. Great. What do you want? Well, 100%. Like that, you're going to get laughed out of the office doing that.
It's like
there's no organization. Go
it's
ahead,
like then. Going into Shark Tank with a poor business plan. They're just going to laugh you right out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What's your valuation? Who do you represent?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get organized. Get together. And I do think the NFL would give a little. They're going to give a little back if you have a real plan. Right now, nobody in college sports has a real plan. It's certainly not in college football. Not one that's very well thought out. It's all just Band-Aids on a hemorrhage. The NFL schedule is out. We'll do the schedule game with the Brownies coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds. Bye-bye.
There's an old story.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet. Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains. And Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today.
Listen, at some point...
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
Boy, the NFL schedule gods did the Browns no favors. Six of the first nine on the road for the Browns. The first two are on the road in Florida.
Hmm.
So, like, from a Browns fan's perspective, like, if you're going to go to a road trip into Florida, you'd want it to be in December, November. Go warm up. Go see your team play. Nope. First two games are in Florida, at Jacksonville, at Tampa Bay. They have a stretch of home games in November and December where the weather is dicey. No favors done there. Their last sort of warm weather trip is at New Orleans on November 8th. That's it. Everything else is really, really cold. So the schedule, the cross divisional stuff is about as easy as it can be. And I think the Browns have one of the easiest schedules in terms of opponents, but in terms of the way that it's set up, pretty tough with six out of your first nine on the road. How close did you look at this when you played?
The schedule?
Yeah.
I really didn't care, honestly.
Didn't matter.
Yeah, I'm just taking week by week. Yeah, like, you know, I think you kind of look for the stretches like you were talking about. Like, if you know you're going to be on the road for, you know, a handful of games, or if you've got a handful of consecutive games that are going to be home, like, I think that pops up. You're always looking for when your bye week is as well. But outside of that, like, give me game by game. We just got to find a way to win.
Panthers, the home opener. That's not till week three for them. They do have one primetime game. It's the Steelers on Thursday Night Football the following week. So short week into Thursday Night Football with the Steelers. That game is at home.
I will say this was a sad schedule release for me for the Browns, because not a lot of later games means Tyvus will be having to go to Cleveland a lot, which means I won't be having opportunities to make money here helping him out in the studio while he does his pre and post game from here. So
yeah,
it's a sad
all
day
1 o'clock.
Me. Couple
all 1 o'clock.
There were a couple tears shed yesterday.
Yeah, look at you. Looking at it the right way.
All right. Let's we'll play the schedule game with the Browns. We will go through each game, wins or losses, headed into it, see where we end up, and see how close we will get to that. Starting week one at Jacksonville. Bake, what say you?
I've got the Browns taking an L in week one.
JP?
I would say the same thing here. Jacksonville, just they feel like they're in a better spot roster-wise, coaching-wise.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there'll be dogs in the opener, and I think that would be one that would be difficult to go their way. Week two at Tampa Bay at 1 o'clock. Bake, what say you?
I got another L. There's no way Baker's not going to be fired up for that one.
It's my same thought process for that. Like, Baker Mayfield, I know he's going to have a grin on his face when he gets to take the field there.
And that's how you guys don't know Baker. Because when he gets amped up, it goes the wrong way. He lost to him once already with Carolina. I think he loses again. I think Miles gets home. I think they're 1-1 coming home for the opener against the Panthers. What do you got, Bake?
This one is for you, Bo, and only you. Win. Browns get a win. This Panthers suck.
God bless you.
I think this is a win as well. You come home, you want to make sure that your first home game goes well. Todd Monken starting his home era there in Cleveland, like, they got to get a win here.
I'm with you. I think they win this one as well and move to 2-1 early on the season. Then short week, Steelers at home in primetime. I don't know who's quarterbacking the Steelers, Bake. I assume it's going to be Rodgers, but I don't know.
And it's going to be a big-time crowd for the Browns there, their one primetime game. Also, the Steelers still getting adjusted to McCarthy. Give me the Browns, 2 in a row.
JP?
That's where I'm at. I think there are probably going to be some early season bumps for both of these teams. But as you mentioned, like, I don't know who the hell's playing quarterback for Pittsburgh, and it might not be somebody good. So I'm going to give the Browns this one.
Me too, and I got them at 3-1 coming out of the first tranche of the season. We start the second tranche at New York, the Jets. There are two teams in the NFL that are full-on tanking this year. This is one of them.
That's right. The Jets suck. Browns win.
I mean, they have to win this one, it feels like. I know we're not in the season, but, like, this has to be one of the games that you circle as a win.
I got them 4-1. Can you imagine?
Look at us.
4-1. Of course they're going to beat the Jets. All right, next one. Week six, Ravens at home.
Gosh, Todd Monken's going to want to get this one, but I don't think he does. I have an L.
I've got an L as well.
Yep.
I think the Ravens are going to be good.
Yep. I think come back to earth a little bit. 4-2, competitive game. Now back on the road at Tennessee in week seven.
I love you, Carnell Tate, but you're not beating the team that you should have went to, the Browns.
I don't know about this one. This feels like it can be a weird game, right? Cam Ward, sure. Year two. Carnell, they upgraded there, obviously. Saleh comes in. I think he can turn that thing around. And by the way, the Browns are probably going to be the better team on paper, but I'm not sure that matters. So this feels like a sneaky loss for some reason to me.
Yeah, I can go that way too. I could see that happening. I could see losing at Tennessee in as they start to get moving a little bit. When we look back on it, these are going to be the type of games that determine if they're going to be in the mix or not.
Yep.
Is a game like at Tennessee, at Pittsburgh, November 1st. Big.
Hold on. So were you going loss Titans, Bo?
Yeah, I went loss.
Okay. They're not beating the Steelers twice. This is an L.
Agree. They're not beating them in Pittsburgh either.
Yep. I'll play those odds as well. So I have them at 4-4 through the first eight, and that sends them to week nine at the Saints, Bake.
I don't trust Tyler Shuck. Go Browns.
I think I trust Shuck enough, but if we're talking about a potential Deshaun Watson playing in a dome, I like that.
I'm with you guys. I like the Browns winning at New Orleans as well, which takes us to the Texans at home week 10, Bake.
Yeah, they're not beating the Texans.
Agree. I think CJ Stroud could have one of those games where he throws up on himself and they still wouldn't win.
He's going to be an interesting one. I'm with you. So that I got an L there as well. That leads him to the bye week, and now we're to week 12, November 29th, Raiders at home.
So there is a game somewhere on this schedule that the Browns should win, and they will not, because they always do that. It's not happening. They're beating the Raiders. Give me the Browns.
I mean, feels like this would be a point in the year where you've got Fernando Mendoza out there, rookie quarterback, got to hit the guy. You got to make him real uncomfortable. I think they'd be able to do that, so I'd give them a win here.
Yep, same. I got a win there as well. So they're going to play both Bengals games December 6th and then week 18. So first matchup against the Bengals at home in Cleveland. What say you, Bake?
I unfortunately have this as a loss. I think the Bengals are going to have a good year.
Is Joe Burrow going to be healthy?
Yeah, great question.
Right, but I think this is a loss as well.
He never wins up there for whatever reason. He doesn't. I'm going to go win here against Cincinnati. So that brings us to Bengals at home week 14. I'm sorry, Falcons at home week 14. Bake?
Everything about this, the Browns should win to me. If the Falcons play one game all year hard for Kevin Stefanski, it's this one. The Falcons win.
That's kind of where I'm leaning to, unfortunately. I feel like Stefanski's going to want his get back.
I think he's going to want it too, but I don't know he's going to get it, because he's going to have Tua and Penix in the cold in Cleveland in December. I think that's a big Quinshon Judkins game. I got Brownies winning that one, which gets us to at Giants on December 20th, Bake.
If I would have given the Browns the Falcons win, I would have made this a loss. But I think the Falcons beat them, so I'm giving this one to the Browns. I think they get the win in the Meadowlands.
The Giants are one of the most intriguing stories to watch, because you got a young quarterback, Jackson Dart, Scatterboo coming back off of injury, Malik Nabers coming back. They've got a defense that's got some guys that can get after a quarterback, and you've got a new head coach who's a proven winner. I'm leaning L here.
I went L here as well. So I think we're getting to kind of the same place, all of us, on this. Week 16 at Ravens. Bake?
It's a loss.
That's L's across the board, right?
I agree.
All right, Colts at home, home finale, week 17, January 3rd.
I think that's a loss, too. I think the end of the year is a struggle for the Browns.
Bo, you were talking about the kind of those games that you circle and say, if you don't win this one, this would be the reason why you're not in the playoffs. I think this ends up being one of those games, and I unfortunately don't think that they end up pulling it out.
Okay, I do think they win the home opener, which gets us to at Bengals in the finale. I'm guessing L's across the board, unless Cincinnati's not trying at that point, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I have an L.
Okay. So how did you end up with them?
So where'd you go with the Colts? I'm sorry.
I had win Colts, lost Bengals.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. So I have the Browns 7-10 on this scheduled game.
JP?
It looks like JP has them, if I'm looking at this right, 6-11?
Sounds about right.
And then, Bo, I've got you 9-8.
Okay, real quick, we're way up against it. As you were doing that, who did you envision quarterbacking the Browns in those 17 games?
I was envisioning Deshaun.
Same here.
Yeah. Second hour of the program coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Matty Ice is currently bathing himself in creamy jalapeno dip. And I've officially run out of ways to tease this show. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.
All right, if you're planning...
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your day started with T-Bone and Tybus weekday mornings from 6 to 9 here on The Fan. You'd think that a radio lifer and a national title winner wouldn't have much in common, but you'd be wrong. They're both girthy. They both love football, and they both get racially profiled for completely different reasons. It's like driving to work with your friends, except these friends give away tickets to things and talk to all the important people in town. Your actual friends are probably a bunch of losers. Well, anyway, listen to T-Bone and Tybus live on the Fan app, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting a little old.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Ryan Baker. Round two of the 108th PGA Championship underway this morning at Aronimink outside of Philadelphia. Five golfers tied atop the leaderboard at minus three. Hao Tong Lee leads a group of three golfers that are minus two on their second round this morning. Scottie Scheffler, tough start to him. He's plus two through three holes and has dropped to minus one for the tournament. The Ohio Cup starts tonight up in Cleveland as the Guardians host the Cincinnati Reds at 7:10. You'll be able to hear that on the Fan HD3 at 6:40. Might be a good time for the Reds as their bats awoken yesterday in a 15-1 win over the Washington Nationals. NHL playoffs last night, Montreal beat Buffalo 6-3, and Vegas advanced, beating Anaheim 5-1. This one's sponsored by Metal Supermarkets, your convenience store for metal. Visit Columbus at metalsupermarkets.com or 2180 Wilson Road for all your metal needs.
You say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Friday. Joshua Perry and Bakes here. I'm here. We've had a little fun with this week. Tim May coming up in 27 minutes. Ryan Day, an extended conversation with Josh Pate. This was another one that I think is pretty timely right now, especially with some of the data I've just seen from Sports Business Journal. Here is Ryan Day with Josh Pate on the future of the sport.
I think the easy thing to do is just throw your hands up and just say, well, this is all ridiculous. But it still goes back to the people in the building. It goes back to the families of the coaches, of the staff that we have in the building. And then obviously it goes to the players and their families. And so you can't just do that. We have to figure out, what it looks like on a day-to-day basis. And then where are we going here at Ohio State? What's the plan for us looking ahead 5 to 10 years? Because we sort of fall into the trap of just thinking about how do we just get through this season? And because of the world that we live in, we all got to win right now. That's how it goes. But we have to make sure we're looking out ahead to figure out where are we going next.
Well, that can't be his job, though. His job's the first part. He's trying to do the altruistic thing and look to 5-10 years down the road, look for big. But his job is the first part, is just win this season. Win this day, win this week, win all of it. The big picture stuff, in my opinion, that's at Ross's feet. That should be at the conference commissioner's feet. That should be at university president's feet. There is so much that a college football, yes, they can have opinions on these things for sure. But like sorting out the big picture of the sport, to me, that is something that he does not have the time to even begin to take on, as complicated as all this is.
I mean, I don't think he needs to necessarily be like hands on sorting anything out, but this is no knock on any of those people, but I don't trust university presidents or athletic directors or conference commissioners to get it all figured out themselves. I think input from the coaches is as valuable as anything else in this equation. It's why
input for sure.
Yes. But yeah. That's why it feels like more and more the coach has evolved from, guys who basically were in every part of the game plan and were just like strictly football guys. So a little bit more of, we need an Arthur Smith and we need a Matt Patricia. So when Ryan Day has to go across the street and he has to participate in these meetings and give his opinion, he's got the time to do so.
Yeah, I think I understand both points there, but Ross Bjork has to know, like Ryan and Ross have to have a lot of conversations, in-depth conversations, exactly about what Ryan sees wrong in this, the way they're doing things, what challenges those present to coaches and football programs. So Ross knows, because Ross can't have his finger on the football program here at Ohio State all the time. Now, he needs to the most,
right?
Because that's the moneymaker. But last time I checked, Ohio State is still trying to run 36 sports, and Ross is in charge of all of those too. And I know Ross has people that helps him, but Ross needs to get a lot of his thinking from Coach Day.
Yeah,
because Coach Day is the one that's dealing with the problems.
Absolutely. So I think we're kind of similar pages on all of those things. And there's something else that makes this, we need to have some real big picture smart people at the top of the sport right now, because what's happening is everything from a legislative perspective takes a glacial pace. Maybe that's even giving it too much credit. Glaciers are disappearing where I grew up. They're disappearing pretty quickly over the last 100 years. They're even moving slower than that. It is the slowest moving thing ever. So as soon as they say, hey, here's something that might fix this, and then it takes 18 months to implement it, there's 16 new problems.
Yeah.
It's truly a Band-Aid on a hemorrhage. It's the old, like, the Bugs Bunny cartoon where there's a dam and they're trying to do it, and every time you put a finger in one hole of a dam, six more holes happen. That's what's happening in the sport. This is from Sports Business Journal today. Caleb sent this to me on social. This just happened. With this piece being written up. This is a quote from Ross Innitt at Sports Business Journal, and this articulates the point I'm trying to make. Market forces have outpaced the enterprise from when we started the negotiations with the House settlement. You see what I'm saying? Structurally, logistically, enforcement, and obviously the numbers and the value of the third-party NIL agreements that we're talking about. That's why we're now at this place where all of this has to be rethought and reimagined. So as soon as they think, hey, here's a solution to this, here's $20 million that we can pay on a rev share, but keep them, you know, student athletes as opposed to having contracts, as soon as they get that done, there's six more problems that are happening. And to that end, in this story, and this is the part that is, it's going to hit, the Southeastern Conference is having discussions about creating their own governance.
Okay.
And their own level of rules to follow.
Okay.
Now, here's some quotes from this. This is from Jerry Moorhead. He's the president of Georgia. I don't know if it's he or she, J-E-R-E. Could be either way. We want to play with the schools following the rules. This plan would work because college football fans are focused on the SEC. Look at the television ratings this past season. Our fans want to see rules and structure. Now, the contrarian to me would say, well, they want that because they haven't played for a title in 3 years.
Right.
And so that's why they want this again, so they can cheat under the table, yep, as opposed to over it, which is why they've gotten behind. This is my favorite quote in this whole thing. This is from a second Power Four administrator. Could the CSC have set up an enforcement mechanism earlier and better? Sure. She's talking about the College Sports Commission.
Right.
But the same schools who claim they wanted governed refused to sign a participation agreement.
Yes.
Don't listen for 1 minute to the people bitching about the CSC. It's the same thing as the NCAA. We blame the NCAA. That's us. We're the idiots.
It's great.
Which I love. I keep saying, so many fans, Joshua, and I'm sure you get this too, will say, oh, the NCAA ruined it. We're the NCAA.
Yes.
The Ohio State president is the NCAA. Ross Bjork's the NCAA. Ohio State's the NCAA. They're the idiots.
Right.
All of those things are the idiots. That's what they're saying here. They're the problem. We're all part of the problem.
No, for sure. And to take that a step forward, like all the coaches, we need more rules. What rules do you need? Suggest the rules. To your point, like when it's time to say, let's vote on these, nobody wants to do anything. Hey, these people are cheating. Who's cheating? Nobody says anything. You want to know why? Because right. Everybody's cheating, right? So that, in and of itself, is an issue, and it's a separate issue. To go back to the first part, though, you talk about the amount of time it takes to actually execute anything in collegiate athletics. This is like when there is a oppressive government, for example, and mm-hmm. people are like, oh, we got to change this and we got to change that, and nothing happens. Then all of a sudden, the people are like, screw it, we're going to overthrow the government.
Yeah.
Because they have to start from scratch in order to change anything. And it feels like we're at that point right now where we might need to start from scratch when it comes to governance, when it comes to enforcement, when it comes to how we actually structure rules, how rules get passed. But the way we used to do it is part of the reason why we're here. Nobody mm-hmm. wanted to change in the past. And then no. when change came, we were not prepared at all to deal with it. And so the SEC saying we want to come up with our own structure for governance. I think it makes a lot of sense because the current one doesn't work at all.
The college athletics was reactionary to everything. They were not on the offensive ever. Everything that college football has done in the last, college football is where it's at its apex, but everything in the last quarter century has been done in a reaction to a lawsuit, drug kicking and screaming. There was at no point where they say, man, let's get ahead of this. Mm-hmm. This is coming. We can see it coming. Let's, you know why? Because it's a bunch of old white guys running things. And all they do is pass it on to the next guy who does the same thing. And all they're trying to do is just get to my retirement, my golden parachute, so somebody else can do this for 3 or 5 years. I said this 10 years ago, more than that. And this was when he was still in government. Anthony Gonzalez would have been perfect to run something like this.
Yeah.
Somebody really smart, really bright, who could navigate political, all of the stuff that comes with the politics of it, who played. And I obviously he's got his own thing. Who knows what he's doing now? But you need to have somebody who's young enough to see it through, to see the plan through. Every time they go to new leadership, it's somebody in their 60s who's on the way out the door. They're trying to get their $3 and $4 million a year. They're trying to get their golden parachute, and then they're out.
You know what?
There's nobody who really wants to do change.
Yes.
Who's ever been in this position of power.
But the other part of it is, too, like, the people who are typically in power in these scenarios, they play dirty, which I don't think that Gonzalez would have ever wanted to do that. I think it's part of the reason why he's out of the political world right now. And they love credit.
Oh, my God.
They love credit. They love having their name in the articles. They love people talking about them on the news. And to me, this is not a job that you can do if your biggest desire is for people to pat you on the back when things happen. You just got to do the thing. That's it.
The other part of this I want to get into coming up next. The Southeastern Conference doing their own thing. And Mike Greenberg brought up something on Get Up in regard to the regular season of college football that I want to run by you. We'll get to all of that coming up next. Bishop and Prince right here on The Fan.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
Two guys.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
With Skip Mossick.
Saturday, we're at Muirfield Village as we get set for next month's memorial. Plus, SI.com's Bob Herrig from the PGA Championship at Aronimink.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick. Saturday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
Hey there, Bo Bishop.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll call it partly cloudy for the rest of the day. Overall, pretty pleasant. Just a little cooler than average with highs around 71. For the overnight hours, lows fall to 56 with increasing clouds. On Saturday, a little unsettled from time to time. We'll have occasional showers and a few thunderstorms out there. Looks like the best chance is going to be early in the day, then some additional redevelopment possible later in the day. Warmer and more humid, highs around 80. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
Well, a couple things from campus. The Buckeyes releasing an all scarlet version of their new uniforms, which we thought they would have. And then they also have the all white version of these, which are gorgeous. Mm. Absolutely gorgeous.
They're calling it Scarlet Rush and Sub-Zero uniform.
Sub-Zero. We used to call it something a little bit different.
Cocaine Whites.
The Cocaine Whites.
That's the one that it is, man. Like,
it's my favorite.
Those are unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
The Cocaine Whites were stunning. Yeah, those were beautiful. These are beautiful.
I mean, these
too.
Are pretty good.
These are great. Yeah, these are great. And also doing new turf at Ohio Stadium for the 2026 season. You think they put gray back in the end zones?
Who knows? But that turf definitely has been a bit of a talking point on social media. So
about what? I missed it. Tell me.
Are you serious?
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so there have been a lot of people who are critical about like the actual type of turf, like the blade of grass, the shape of that.
Oh,
it's a whole thing. But I think people will be
like
excited.
That it's not
as good for the athlete.
Okay,
may cause more injuries.
Well, I mean, they could obviously do grass there if they wanted to.
I would love to see it, but you know where everybody's at with that.
Yeah, it's less, finance less money, right?
Yeah, it's less money.
We don't care about anything else. Whatever's cheapest.
Yeah. I always laugh anytime like the European soccer teams come over here and they can grow grass anywhere. Do it in a dome because those guys won't play on turf.
Right.
They will not, which tells you all you need to know.
What is it? Is it in Arizona where they wheel?
They roll it in.
They wheel Vegas it outside to grow it and then back and forth.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, but they do. They have natural grass at lower.com. That's fine.
Yep.
Like that, you can grow it anywhere. Like you could do it if you wanted to. I understand their perspective. You just got to bite the bullet on the maintenance.
Tell 21 Pilots they can't tear up your turf when they're having a concert.
Well, that part, now, I will say, you're exactly right, but I will say when I was down in Tallahassee, they had now the growing's different down there, but like they have natural grass.
Sure.
And they had like some sort of a monster truck thing that they were doing, and they had concerts, and then they just replant the grass. It obviously grows quicker down there, but you wouldn't be able to have 21 pilots in there in November if you were going to do that. The SEC is 100% serious about doing their own thing. And they're probably the one conference, like them or hate them, and many of you up here probably do, and I don't blame you. The ego runs amok. But they're probably the one conference that could crown their own national champion, and their fans would love it. They would eat it up. Their SEC championship game to them, and I think this goes all the way back to like Civil War stuff. I really do, buddy. I really think like they really just like that sectionalism, which is makes you want to throw up a lot of times. But if they did put their own set of rules together and they got all their people to follow it, now they wouldn't enforce anything, but at least they'd have rules that they would try to enforce. a lot of folks down there would be just fine just deciding who is the best in their conference. I really do.
Yeah, I think especially now that they feel like they feel like their strength is being undermined elsewhere. So yeah, I think they would be like, you know what, we'll just do what we want to do and we'll follow our own rules and our whatever we say is legitimate and everything else you guys can argue about.
We live in a world where it's not a lie if you believe it.
Sure.
You can say anything you want and you can lie through your teeth. Nothing matters now. And it's like, in this instance, from their perspective, they already have a television partner set up that's locked in with them in lockstep. They've got 16 teams in their league. If they wanted to, they could get bigger. Florida State, Clemson, Miami would all love to be in that league. Carolina, if you wanted to, you could swallow up some of the ACC. They could do it that way and just go, hey, let's put the southern schools of the ACC and the SEC together. We have a television partner with ESPN that's ready and willing. We'll conduct our own tournament. And I think it would fly down there.
It would.
I really do.
It would. But
yeah,
there are plenty of fans elsewhere that would just laugh at that.
No question. But I don't think they'd care. Which would be, I'm telling you, like they're that myopic in terms of just seeing it through their own prism.
I'm with you, but I've also watched the amount of Southern football fans who discovered Kurt Cignetti last year and have been really sensitive about how he is actually a good coach and like did what he did with Indiana. Like I think they're in a more sensitive spot. It's like it's a new wound that they have versus one that's kind of calloused over. And
that's fair.
I think 2 years ago would have been a lot easier than today.
That's, I think that's fair.
That's what I was thinking. This probably makes more sense 3 years ago, but you've had three Big Ten teams win college football national championships mm-hmm. in a row. Maybe it doesn't make as much sense. Maybe it's a little more laughable now than it was.
It's to pick up your ball and go home rather than absolutely. We don't need to fool with you guys because we're better.
Absolutely. The one thing that I am going to be curious if they can hold on to is the 16-team playoff. They want it bigly. ESPN wants it bigly. They don't want to move off of it. Everybody else is spinning towards this 24-team one. There's some casualties of this. Clark Lee was in a conversation with the Vanderbilt head coach with Outkick, had this to say, expansion is coming. We all expected it for this year. It hit a hiccup. We're going to have to let go of some tradition and end-of-the-year elements of college football, or somehow the playoff is incorporated in playoff games. The first thing we need to focus on is when we end the season. The issue is tied to TV contracts, dedicated time slots, where we're not competing with NFL on games that extend our season 3 weeks into January that undermines integrity of what we're doing as a sport. Last part, I couldn't agree any more with him on, which led Mike Greenberg on Get Up, and our buddy Mr. Feinbaum was on this segment as well, to say this about the end of the season in rivalry games.
I will say this. I don't know what ESPN does and doesn't want, but what I can tell you with certainty is that the idea that good teams, championship-worthy teams, get left out of the playoff is a good thing, not a bad thing. If you put every single team that might win the championship into the playoff, you might just as well not play the regular season to begin with. If we live in a world where Ohio State and Michigan rest their starters for that game at the end of the season because they've got the potential of five playoff games still sitting in front of them, then college football as we have known it ceases to exist. So I don't have a vote in any of this. Obviously, other people do, and they'll make the decisions they make based on a lot of reasons that candidly have nothing to do with what's in the best interest of the game itself.
Could you see that happening?
No, but I kind of want to see it if we move to 24.
You want to see chaos?
Yeah, I do. I am rooting for chaos. Like, I think it would take something like that for the people in power to be like, oh, damn, we might have actually really screwed this thing up, where you get the Iron Bowl or you get Ohio State, Michigan, and you got coaches, you know, load managing with the players because they're trying to look ahead to this big playoff that everybody said was going to be the greatest thing. That it would be a weird world, but part of me is like, if this is where we're going, like, yeah, I would love to see that just to see what the reaction is.
Well, I think earlier this week on this show, I talked about this. Mm-hmm. When we were talking
this has
about
been one of your concerns
when we were talking about when is too much and when is it going to be a point where you start losing people. I think when you have something like that, you will start losing people, and there is no part of me that ever wants to see that happen. I hate that the game means as little as it does now. I want it to mean everything. I want everything to be on the line in that game. But JP, I'm with you a little bit in the fact, and I've said this all along, I want complete chaos with all of this because yep. All of you guys asked for this. You all wanted it, and you all pushed so hard for all of this. I hope at some point it crashes and burns at your feet.
I don't think people who wanted this.
The people who can make the decision about it.
No. They didn't want this, guys. They wanted to find money.
Oh, okay.
Nobody really wants this. Okay. There's not a president who wants this. There's not an athletic director who wants this. They want to save jobs. The coaches want to save jobs. So they want a 2014 playoff so they can say, I made the playoff. The administrators want an influx of cash so that they don't have to make hard decisions on sports.
Okay.
So they're trying to create money that previously wasn't there. I don't know if you hooked anybody to a lie detector test that they would say, we want a 2014 playoff for anything other than selfish reasons.
Well, that's just too damn bad, because if you want to do all those things and whatever, you need more money, but doing it this way is crazy. And if this is what we're going to get, then I do want to see the chaos. Like, we can't have it both ways where it's like, oh, we really don't want to do this, but we want the money, so we're going to do it. It's like, well, no, then I want to see it blow up in your face because I think it's wild. The other thing that Greeny said here that I think is an even bigger point in this is, if we're just going to get it to a place where, like, the top 10 teams that we think in our brain are the top 10 at the beginning of the year get 50 mulligans throughout the season and they can still be in the playoff, like, you lose three games and you're still there, why are we even playing? What are we, like, just because you were supposed to be good doesn't mean that you should have an opportunity to win a title. And by the way, I say this as somebody who got the mulligan in 14 and won it, and the last one we watched with Ohio State as a 23-point favorite at home, losing to their biggest rival and then winning it. I understand what it means to open this thing up, but it's crazy the amount of chances that the best teams are going to get just to screw around.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. There's not a scenario where we did this when it was a 16-team playoff and we went back 50 years. And I think there was only two instances where Ohio State wouldn't have made a playoff in a 16-team in like 50 years.
Like, it's crazy.
You're never going to have to worry about it. Nuts. This is not an Ohio State problem at all. Tim May in 2 minutes, Bishop and Friends, right here on the
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The show that understands the importance of a situational beverage. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are. It is a Friday. It is 10:30 at this time. We talked to our good buddy Tim May, the Tim May Show with Clay Hall on FanStream Sports. We are caroming towards a 24-teamer. It sounds like Sankey and the ESPN are about the only ones that can try to prevent this thing from happening. Is there a way to preserve what is left of the regular season with a 24-team playoff in your view, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the games will still matter, but you know, what scares you, what bothers you is I hate to agree with ESPN and Greenberg on anything, but is the idea that the Michigan-Ohio State game, you might have guys sitting out like 2 or 3 or 4 years from now, or 4 or 5 years from now, when it becomes obvious that what matters are the next four games and not that one. You know, when it's when you have no chance of making maybe the top eight and you realize it, you know what I mean? There, all kinds of factors are going to weigh into this. A bye is still going to be a big deal. Even though, of course, that hurt Ohio State last year, it looks like, but it's still going to be a big deal when you consider the ramifications. But yeah, I mean, see, even talking about it right now, you just talk yourself right into a rabbit hole when you start talking about what's good and bad about it. I mean, you and I, you know, you, me, my buddy Jeff Snook, my good buddy Jeff Snook, we all agree the BCS, when you put the top two teams together, that was a hell of a deal, man. And yeah. And then when you moved to four, it left you enough fodder for talk radio for everybody to be griping about 5 and 6 not getting in, right? Yeah. But when it's 24, I mean, what are you going to be talking about, the guys who didn't get the buys? I mean, you know, it's everything gets diluted, including even talk radio, in my opinion. But it will give you product. But my good buddy Joshua Perry, he was talking about. I mean, it's like you kind of want to see this because, boy, college athletics, college in general, they just have a way of backing themselves into a corner and then hoping a mouse digs through the hole and gives them a way out. You know, I mean, it's repeatedly through the ages we've seen this with the revenue sharing and everything else. It's kind of funny to watch in slow motion.
Well, you were listening to what we were just talking about that right there. I don't think anybody really, hook them up to a lie detector, wants a 2014 playoff. I think they think it's a necessity in an effort to stay afloat and to keep paying coaches what they're paying them and pay everybody else. They're basically trying to find money, Tim. When you talk to the people that you talk to around the sport, I don't know that anyone's like, oh, yeah, I want to play 5 games in December and January.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, I keep saying we have talked about a lot of this, but from this standpoint – the people that gripe about what football players are making, for example, in the NIL, but the revenue sharing aspect of things, they just think of what you're leaning on now. You're leaning on flesh, blood and bone. That's hard to say three times in a row. You're of football players to basically pay the freight. And so I don't know where you go in that. I remember asking Kirby Smart and Ryan Day before that 2022 game about should the players in an expanded playoff share in the revenue. And Kirby started talking about how, well, you know, we get our families, the families of the players, they now get their expenses paid to go to the extra game. And I wanted to yell at him because it was in a big press conference. I wanted to yell at him, yeah, that's because of Ohio State and Gene Smith and Ryan and Urban Meyer. You know, so it's like they, I don't know, it's just, it's crazy. I do think the players should get bonuses, though. I mean, I don't know how else you would label it other than a bonus to play in these extended playoffs. I mean, I really truly
that's coming.
Believe that.
You know, that's coming. Some kid's going to say, I'm not playing unless I get more. That happened with Nico, reportedly, Joshua.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think they should, by the way. And for the, I don't know what the other bowl games are going to look like, but you might as well throw an incentive out there for that too. But Tim, I wanted to ask you because we were talking about it a little bit earlier. You know, Ryan Day is thinking about all the same things that we talk about here every single day. Yeah. And there's question about, you know, like how much time can and should he put into thinking about the future and the direction of the sport? Where do you stand on the conversations of coaches and how they fit into the big picture?
Well, here's the problem for like a Ryan Day. You know, in the final analysis, he's not making the decision. They should be having much more input into it than I think they're even getting. But like you know, he wakes up every day and somebody has already moved another milepost. You know, it's like it's crazy what you're dealing with now compared to 2019. I mean, so it's hard for coaches to do the job they were originally hired to do, but then also look out for the future of things. I mean, I don't think there's any coach, like Bo just said, I don't think there's any coach out there that says, yeah, you got to win 4 games to win a national championship after playing at least 12 games to get there. We're going to see the conference championship games go away because you've got to know when you want to roll your loaded dice, you know, and not just the dice. So that's what these coaches are going to all be dealing with. It roster management is going to be a big deal in 4 or 5 years.
It's a bit, yeah.
Well, it's already a big deal, but it's going to be more so because you do want Julian saying, playing in the first round of the playoffs, you know, and Jeremiah Smith and whomever, Brock Boyd probably be around by then, be stepping up.
Yeah, just imagine those conversations, because that's going to happen. As we're talking about this, all guys, I'm thinking to myself, like, and reportedly it happened with Nico in the game here again when Tennessee came.
We're not
playing unless you give us a little bit more. And then the crazy thing is you can't even give him a bonus, as you have to then call a booster to go, hey, he needs $100,000 to play the Ohio State game. All right, fine, I'll give it to you. Here you go. It's not even like they don't even control that. Just think of the mess that is.
But it's probably a booster you called 2 months earlier. Hey, we need this for this guy.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's the tree's going to run out of fruit, is basically. You keep picking the fruit off of it. So that's what we're seeing most of all, is like, knock, knock, who's there? Not you again, you know.
All right, I wanted to ask you about a little bit of a different mess that was making headlines. And you're a guy who grew up in the South, so you've got better perspective probably than a lot of us do. But Lane Kiffin did that interview in Vanity Fair, and you know, he had went to LSU because recruits feel more comfortable. They don't feel like it's segregated here. And then Steve Sarkisian jumped in with some criticism for Ole Miss as well. Like, what did you make of all of the people kind of pointing their arrows at Ole Miss this past week?
Well, Ole Miss has always had a reputation, you know, even when I was growing up back in the 60s of, you know, interesting things. And I'm not even talking about, well, the 60s were an interesting time. Let's leave it at that, Joshua. Mid 60s especially. But, let's backtrack it. What about when Jimbo called out Nick Saban? When Nick Saban called him out or called out Texas A&M for what they did, and nobody ever looked at that, right? I mean, everybody's, it's almost like Sankey said, hey, everybody be quiet. What are you doing? You know, we're going to have the FBI down here in a minute. So I just make it out as that's the, it's almost like the offseason's too long in the SEC, if you follow my drift.
I think they love it. I mean, I know Feinbaum loves it. I think they love the dialogue. You brought, just to clear up, and we talked about this yesterday a little bit with Paul. I believe everything that Lane Kiffin said is valid. I don't believe he ever thought it. I don't believe that he ever thought it until he left Ole Miss. He never brought it up when he was there, ever. He's using this as a cheap shot to get at Ole Miss. Everything that he said is real. I lived down there going to Mississippi was a different level. It just was, and everybody understood it. So I think what he said was probably valid. I think the one that was, but I just think that the who delivered the message was the problem. Like Kiffin can't deliver that message, because that is a below the belt shot, I think, for a guy who never complained about that while he was there and is now bringing it up because he's going to rival him.
Of course he brings it up because they didn't let him coach in the playoffs.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, it's personal. He made it personal. Right? Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what he did.
Yes.
Everything
in the Southeastern Conference is personal. I think Oklahoma and Texas are figuring that out.
Yeah, they are. The one thing that was kind of crazy, though, was like Sark going at Ole Miss. Like, his quarterback's dad's an alumnus. so is his grandpa.
Yeah. So
Sark didn't think that one through, buddy.
Dude, they didn't play the Alabama-Auburn game. Somebody asked me which is the better rivalry the other day, Alabama-Auburn or Texas or Ohio State-Michigan. I said, are you kidding? You know, they didn't even play Alabama-Auburn for a long time because people were getting these huge fights in the stands, you know, and players were being threatened, et cetera. So, without a doubt, Ohio State-Michigan. That's why, you know, I would never have said this 5-10 years ago, but I think the idea of keeping it from being of it being affected by what's coming is, you know, just like Texas, Oklahoma play in the middle of the year.
Oh my God.
Ohio State, Michigan, you know, move it in the middle of the season. That way it still matters, baby.
Just, it feels crazy to have to adapt tradition for this stupid new world that we're in. Like that would, I feel like people's brains would explode just even trying to conceptualize that, Tim.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it would. Mine did, only because I just thought it was so cool. It's something a Big Ten has that nobody else has. I mean, you could talk Alabama, Auburn, but you know, Alabama, Tennessee is really for many years was the big rivalry for Alabama. So, just right on down the line. I mean, okay, as always, by the way, I hope I'm not getting lost. I'm headed to Apple Valley to play golf right now.
Oh, there you go. Who are you playing with, Moosey?
I'm really playing with Dylan Davis and his dad, Cliff Davis. He's a good guy, but they decided we're going to branch out and play Virtues and Apple Valley.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And a couple other big-time places, even though my game is better suited for the putt-putt down the street.
Virtues is cool, man. I played there about 15 years ago. That's fun.
Times. Yeah, I like that. I like that course a lot. It's kind of a – I like walking it, believe it or not. I walked one time with some guys. But Apple Valley, I only played one time with Timmy Hall a long time ago. You remember, you know who Timmy Hall is, right?
Yeah, I said I'm sorry you had to play golf with him.
Common man and Timmy, exactly. Yeah, no, he can – dude, he can rip it.
I love Timmy.
He can rip it.
No, he's a stud. He's a stud. Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy your round. Hit it straight. We'll talk to you soon.
I'll try to hit it straight. I always try to hit it straight. That's the idea.
That's the objective.
Scheffler, three bogeys in his first four holes this morning. What do you think? There you go.
Hit it straight, buddy.
All right, see you, pal. See you, Joshua.
Later.
We'll do a little thing or not, I think, up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
Nothing makes...
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Resident gambling degenerates Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas for On the Money. Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan.
Craving. Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. The best hair on the air. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Friday. Hit it, Bake.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
So we just talked about this a little bit ago with Ohio State announcing that they're going to have new turf in the shoe for this upcoming season. This was Ross Bjork with some comments on it. He said the new surface at Ohio Stadium takes this vision further, providing a dynamic playing surface that provides the latest advancements in performance and safety and meets NFL standards. And our staff will now be able to utilize customizable end zones that amplify themed game atmospheres and elevate experience for fans inside the stadium and watching nationwide. There's also no plans for Ohio Stadium to go back to grass because of the maintenance that is associated with that. And it also allows us, we talked about Ohio Stadium to be used for such things as the 21 Pilots concert that'll be happening the same weekend that Ohio State is playing over in Indiana. Thing or not a thing?
Well, the last part is the most important thing, right? Because the 21 Pilots concert, that's found money, is what that is. So there, think about, that's what all of this stuff comes back to. It would be a big thing for football. Is it safe? Like, if you're putting in new end zones and trading them in and out, like, make sure there's not seams. I don't know how any of this stuff works. But just from the perspective of, there is no question that grass is the safest. That is known. There's data forever on it. I know they're coming a long way in turf than where they were even 10 years ago, 5 years ago even. So as long as it's safe, you just don't want the turf monster to tear an ACL on a kid. That's the only thing that I care about.
That's a reaction that I've been seeing on social media. Everybody was like, oh, the old turf was slippery, so glad we got a new surface in there. I think that's the number one most important thing, as you said. If we could go back to grass, I would love to see that. We know that's not happening, so get us the best of the best. It's Ohio State.
So something else here that I took from that, he said customizable end zones. Will this be a thing where... And the renderings, and I believe Ohio State has had Safelite on the field the past couple of years.
Could be.
And the renderings have Safelite on the field at like the 20s again. Mm-hmm. I wonder if this will be certain kind of advertising things that they could put in the end zone. Or when we have the tunnel vision jerseys, will the end zones go black?
I think it's both. I think tunnel vision, when you go the black jerseys, you'll have a black end zone. When you go, you may even do all white at home, which would be kind of crazy. Like, that's I wouldn't recommend that. But if you do like the scarlet out, gray out, that type of thing, and then it's probably also, I mean, just think like if you could sell this, and again, this is all found money, when Alabama comes here in 2 years, and you could, what is that worth to have your company in the end zone? That's Ross's job. His job is to find money and try to keep this thing going the best he can. So my hunch is it's both the things you mentioned, Vic.
Where do you stand on sales and logos in the end zone? You know, sales aspects on the field.
Doesn't bug me. I don't care.
I don't either, but I know some people are like, it as clean as possible.
We've talked about this a couple weeks ago. I'd rather have that than them asking the fans for more money, quite frankly.
I'm with you on that. You get that
I'd rather
email.
Have them put a... Now, the problem is they won't. I'd rather have them put a badge on the jersey, put sponsorships on the field if it meant I didn't have to deal with the 2014 playoff. But it won't, because they just want to keep finding more and more.
Yeah, they'll
more.
Do it all.
Yeah, they'll try to do it all.
I thought this was pretty interesting the other day. Heading into the PGA Championship, Brooks Koepka explained why he's one of only a few golfers on the tour who doesn't use a yardage book.
It's not too difficult. I play enough golf. I can eye it and pretty much know what it's going to be by looking at it. He's right. I do have the club. I'm taking practice swings most of the time before he even gives me the yardage. You just kind of know what it is. And I just found myself looking at the yardage book too much, and I'd look at it and I'd see the bunker and it looks like it's tucked, and then I look at it up and I look and I see what's in front of me and it's not tucked. That's why you play practice rounds. I mean, once it comes to it, just the numbers, I should know the golf course by the time we play it, so there shouldn't be anything that's a surprise. Pretty much done that my whole career as a professional, and you play the place plenty of years, plenty of times, practice rounds, you know where the pit is, where you should miss it, where you shouldn't miss it. So looking at a yardage book isn't going to really do you any good, because you already know where it's at.
Koepka shot an opening round 1 under par yesterday at Aronimink, and he does not tee off for his second round until later this afternoon. Thing or not a thing?
Awesome thing. Makes me easy to root for. Yeah, I like it. Grip it, rip it. You can, I'm terrible. But I can tell when I get to the ball, like, oh, I'm about 160. Feels like about 160 to me. Like, I'm terrible. Imagine as tuned in as those guys are. I'm sure he can spot it within 2 or 3 yards every shot, don't you think?
That's kind of where I'm at in terms of him. And you said grip it and rip it. Like, sometimes I'm no good, but like, sometimes you go out there and you're like, oh, you know, I'm getting a couple practice swings in. Where should I try to? Sometimes you just walk up to the ball, address it, and swing. And that's it. That's all you need to do.
Bake, when you used to play a lot, I bet you could. And even now, I bet you could feel. I bet you could be within 5 or 10 yards, 5 yards on everything.
Yeah,
don't you think?
Maybe so. Probably not now. But there's a lot of times you look and you're like, yeah, it's probably about 150.
Yeah.
But with these guys, they want things dialed in to the exact yardage.
They
like,
do.
They're not saying that looks like 150. They're saying, oh, that's 144 and a half.
Yes.
So
that's true. Yeah.
It's kind of surprising. It was different to hear.
Yeah.
After a 65-year football coaching career, longtime NFL offensive coordinator Tom Moore's most recent stop brings him full circle at the University of Iowa. The 87-year-old Moore will work as a senior consultant to coach Kirk Ferentz as an offensive advisor. He played quarterback at Iowa in the 1950s, was a grad assistant there in 61 and 62. Moore helped the Steelers win Super Bowls in 79 and 80, and he was also the offensive coordinator for Peyton Manning's multiple MVPs. Thing or not a thing?
This is an awesome thing. Awesome thing. Great job, Kirk Ferentz. You know, you're 87. Certainly the sun is setting, and yet you don't want to just sit in your house. It's something to do for a legend. I love it.
The jokes write themselves on this one, though. I mean, Iowa, their offense, and to bring somebody to help us innovate, we're going to find an 87-year-old guy. That's going to be
fair.
Our innovation.
That's fair.
I think it's hilarious. Obviously, this dude knows what he's doing, so go ahead and do what you got to do. But come on, guys.
Hey, in a world where the leader of the most prominent country can be an older gentleman, as we've seen the past couple of times.
I guess so.
Why can't 87-year-old Tom Moore help reinvent Iowa's offense?
Wouldn't that be cool, though, like come full circle?
Yeah.
Played there, you know, the think of, I mean, you just, even wherever you spent that time of your life, 18 to 23, like a lot of people would say, it's as much fun as you've ever had or will ever have in your life. And to be able to go back at the end of your life and kind of go home, I think that's just really cool. So good job out of parents.
I mean, well, that bar no longer exists.
They say you start your coaching career.
Rock and R Bar is doing just fine.
You start your coaching career or end your coaching career at your alma mater, but you don't do it in the middle. So this makes a lot of sense.
It does. Final hour of the week coming up next. Doug at 11:30. What we learned is next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
During this 10-second promo, Rothman will lose money gambling on something.
People like you come here and blow the family nest egg that built this town.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Hey, it's Austin.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Ryan Baker. Round number 2 of the PGA Championships underway at Aronimink. 5 golfers are tied at -3 for the lead. The only one of those on the course right now is Alex Smalley. He's even par through 5 holes. Hideki Matsuyama and Chris Gauthier, both -2. Those are your low rounds for round 2 so far. Scottie Scheffler, +3 through 6. He's at even par for the tournament. The Hockey World Championships have gotten underway this morning over in Switzerland. Canada playing Sweden right now, and they lead 2-0. Jet Greaves in goal for the Canadians. The Cincinnati Reds bats exploded in a 15-1 win over the Washington Nationals yesterday. They're up in Cleveland tonight, starting the Ohio Cup against the Guardians at 7:10. You can hear that on the Fans HD3 at 6:40. This one's sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union, voted best credit union for the past 8 years.
After putting up with Dom Tabari for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
Final hour of the week, Doug LaMaurice in 29 minutes. We will do the Bengals schedule game coming up at 11:17. Time now to figure out what we learned this week. Hit it, Bick.
We're not trying to do too much around here, but over the course of 5 days, you might have gleaned some stuff. Bishop and Friends present What We've Learned This Week.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Make a reservation today at highbankco.com. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
Only in Columbus, Ohio, could kind of the number one story of the week being the school color returning to the home jersey. Like, only here. And I'm not minimizing it, because I've been working on this for 20 years. I've been complaining about this. So they finally got it right. They got them on. I did quibble a little bit, JP. I would have done the scarlet ones and the white ones first so that people knew that was coming, because they did the black one first, and everybody was asking, where's the red one? Where's the white one? Where's all this going to shake out? So I just would have done that one and then dropped the black one later. Today they dropped an all-white version, an all-red version. What we learned today was that there will not be an all-gray version of these uniforms, which I think is fine, considering everything else. What did you make of the rollout and now the uniform options that the Buckeyes have at their disposal?
I mean, we talked about the rollout itself. I think the only issue with doing the black jersey first was the people whining and moaning about how you see it at noon because they never play at night. So That was tough, but I like a little teaser. I like to build anticipation when it comes to the rollout and the launch. So from that standpoint, wasn't mad at it. And we got to the conclusion that you have been on a personal campaign for it feels like a couple decades now, really. So
legitimately 20 years.
Yeah. So I'm glad it's back. I think they look phenomenal. We talked about, like, are you a jersey guy? I've got my own jerseys at home. But if I ever decided I was going to add a modern jersey to the mix, like, now is the time I'm going to do it.
So, Bo, there's no gray yet. We don't know what could be coming here. And they also said that
I'm going to trust Andrew Lind on this.
Okay.
And he's reporting there will not be a gray. And okay. He doesn't miss on these things. I haven't seen him miss on these things. He runs the Ohio State football database, in a uniform database. I've never seen him miss on them. And he's, I should have said that. You're right. I'm reporting that there won't be a gray, and I believe him to be correct.
So that would be interesting because 11 Warriors says that these are uniform combinations for this season and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think the beyond, there would be an all gray again at some point, but maybe we don't have one.
How did you guys feel about the all gray? Did you like them?
It wasn't a needle mover for me. I thought it was cool. I thought it was fine. It's, you know, it wasn't the best combination that I've seen.
Bo, you know I am not someone that loves the monochrome jersey anyway. I enjoy the contrast. Like, I don't love the all scarlet. To be honest, like these Scarlet Rushes, they look awesome because the gray is on the red jersey again, or the silver's on the red jersey again, but I don't love the red pants with it. The all white looks pretty cool, but I don't usually enjoy that. So the all grays were just kind of blah to me.
The ones that I would like to know the real truth on, Joshua, and I've never asked you this. We were talking about the Cocaine Whites. So this would have been, I think these debuted in 13?
13.
13. So this is, now they didn't have gray on the sleeves, but it had the big, thick sleeve. It had a chrome dome. And bright green Buckeye leaves.
And the fat stripe.
Fat stripe on the sleeve and on the pant. And there was a home and away version of it. The away version, Braxton looked the coolest anyone's ever looked in a football uniform ever, in State College and in Ann Arbor in those. And then the red ones were pretty sweet too. I had always heard that was Nike kind of soft launching. This is what the Buckeye uniform, this is like the evolution of the Buckeye uniform, and that there was talk of those becoming the uniforms. What do you remember about the rollout of those, and what do you remember? Do you remember any conversation around that?
No, I don't. The one thing I'll tell you is when we wore the all black uniforms for the first time, I think that might have been 15 against Penn State. They had the black helmet, and I believe the Buckeye leaves were still like a metallic green that they wanted to put on there. And we went to the equipment people that week and we were like, I think these green leaves look goofy. And they're like, it's a traditional. And we're like, we should do something different. And that's when we got the red leaves to put on the black helmet, which really kind of popped there. So the only thing I'm telling you based off of that conversation is I feel like all of the uniform chatter is an evolution and it's very fluid. And it's kind of like, what are our traditions and our ethos, but like, what are the trends and what do players and recruits and fans really care about? So they actually listen to input when it came to that kind of stuff.
Oh, that part's pretty cool. What is your favorite one off that you wore there?
It had to be the all white was
the Cocaine White.
Yeah. The one I'm actually not as big on the all black uniform. It looks heavy. And so in my mind, I felt like I was heavy wearing it.
Did you wear the Wolf ones, like the camo gray ones?
No, that was, I think that might have been 16, 2 years. Yeah, or maybe a year after I left was the first time they wore those. They look great.
JT Barrett wore them, I know.
Was that at Penn State? Didn't they wear those? Maybe it was Dwayne?
They wore them in the Michigan game 1 year, the white versions of them in the Michigan game 1 year, which was crazy.
The 17 game against Penn State, I know that comeback, I think, was when they wore them as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
JP, we talked a lot about this, and this, what about just for an alternate jersey, just the normal combo, normal pants, normal helmet, but just a normal black jersey, like everything that the normal home jersey is, but just wear it scarlet, make it black, have a Raiders look.
I could get down with that. I think
that would be sick.
It would. I think the era where it went a little bit too far for me was right before I got there. They did like the throwback alternates, and some of those just didn't play for me.
Which one didn't you like? There was one I was very fond of, but there were several that I thought were.
I can't. I'm trying to remember.
So they had one that was. They had one with a white hat that they wore in the Michigan game.
That's the one that I don't think I was very fond of. Yeah.
I did like the look of that one on the field. I thought it looked really clean. They had another one that was like with a shiny red helmet. And then they had one with like the vertical striping.
Yeah, that was
as well. That was a throwback.
I was not a fan of the vertical striping.
That was a little tough.
I liked them all. I just didn't like them in the Michigan game.
I'm with you on that.
Like, I thought they were all pretty cool, but I don't love them in the Michigan. To me, and that's something that I wonder if at any point that they will do, if they will do like USC and UCLA and go color on color in that game.
I would love to see it.
Please. You could do that.
I would love to see it. It would be phenomenal.
Well, I feel like I've been Trumpy ears beating that drum like you did with the gray sleeves.
Hopefully it won't take you 20 years.
I know. Gosh. It'd be so good.
It would be. Yeah. It would be so good. So, yeah, that kind of dominated the week. And then we've spent this whole week, all of these conferences, they're doing the upfront stuff. So upfronts is when you go to advertisers and say, here are all of our big things. And in the old days, these used to be TV shows. Like, I remember working at local affiliates, CBS affiliates in Billings, Montana, Tallahassee, Florida. And like when we would drop the CBS schedule, it was all about, oh, here's this new show. It's called CSI. Let's see if it'll be a hit. And you and the advertiser get all excited. And even the local affiliates would have these big parties and invite their partners and their advertising partners in and show them like the fall schedule. Here's what you have to be excited about. Now it's all sports. It's all sports. So that's why we have these schedule leaks that are coming out. That's why we have all this NFL schedule is released this week. It's all for the upfronts and all of that. And so that's what is leading to these comments from the ACC commissioner. In 2 weeks, we'll have the SEC meetings down in Florida. So that's where you're getting all of this, the resignation that we're heading to a 24-team playoff, because these people are all in the same building and same room, and they're being asked these questions. My overwhelming thought on all of it is, I don't think there's anybody that's representing this sport correctly and really worries about the next 10 years. I think they're worried about next year.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't think there's anybody big picture thinking, buddy.
I tend to agree. There's also a large part of me that is on the train of, if we're going to do expansion, let's do 16, but I don't want to do it at all. But if we're going to do it, at least let's wait a few more years. Like, I know it's not necessarily imminent, but it's going to happen sooner than later. We haven't even really marinated on the current landscape we're in. And then the final thing I'll say is, I don't think that more TV partners in this thing is the worst thing ever. I wish we could do it in the current 12-team format, but just from my perspective at NBC, we certainly talk about the postseason, and we certainly talk about what we think the bracket's going to look like. We don't have a vested interest in actually promoting the postseason because we're not a part of it.
No, that's called agenda setting.
Yeah.
That's why ESPN in February starts talking about the women. For 20 years, they've done this. They're talking about the women's tournament.
Yep.
That's why all of a sudden WWE is on SportsCenter, because they're partners with them. And so, yeah, that's absolutely a part of it. Real quick, without thinking, regardless of the money and all of it, both of you, JP, you first, what is the perfect number for a college football playoff?
Six.
So two buys?
Yep.
I think four. I've always said that.
I could do eight and sleep well at night.
You see how all of us went less than what we currently have?
Yeah. Less. Less is more, kids. Less is more. We said about a month ago that we thought if you wanted to put some soft earned on an NFL team that might pay off big in terms of a Super Bowl, it would be on the Cincinnati Bengals. Their schedule is out. We will play the schedule game with the Bengals coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Jack. Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan is headed to the Memorial. Are you ready for 30 hours of live coverage? Oh, it's true, baby.
Sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling.
Thewaterworks.com.
The best Memorial coverage. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll call it partly cloudy for the rest of the day. Overall, pretty pleasant. Just a little cooler than average with highs around 71. For the overnight hours, lows fall to 56 with increasing clouds. On Saturday, a little unsettled from time to time. We'll have occasional showers and a few thunderstorms out there. Looks like the best chance is going to be early in the day, then some additional redevelopment possible later in the day. Warmer and more humid, highs around 80. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
1, 2, 3. Here in The Fan, it's always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan. If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Appropriate that we had Mr. Brown there as the bump back. We will do his Bengals, and they have a lot of pie that's distributed this year in terms of who they're paying, what they're paying them, and what they've done in the lead up to this season. Then he's going to have to open up the checkbook, Joshua, because he's got to take that whole operation to Madrid. And that ain't cheap.
So what's the setup like? How are they living over there in Madrid?
When the Browns went to London last year, they stayed at kind of a golfing resort about 35, 40 minutes from the city. So I assume that teams would do the same thing when you go to Madrid or Munich. Or now when you go to Brazil, you're on lockdown.
Right.
Like, you can't leave, nothing. I assume Mexico City's the same. Maybe it's the same there, too. I think the Browns just figured, like, hey, let's go out in the countryside and away from distractions that London can provide. So my guess is they would do the same thing with Madrid. I'm not guessing that there's a Super 8 across the street from where Real Madrid plays.
Well, the practice facility aspect of that becomes a little bit of a challenge, too, getting a field. And you have to – I know there's a lot of work that they do beforehand, but I've heard that – even getting that part of it's a little bit of a challenge too.
It is. Yeah. Because that, you know, Real Madrid's not going to let 80 football players go mess up their practice turf. That stuff's like the fairways at Augusta National. So they're not going to let that happen, but yeah, they'll have to be able to find that. I don't, that's a good question. I'll have to ask Zagura where the Browns did that when they went there, because where they held practice, if they were on the field, or what they did there. Irregardless, the Bengals are heading to Madrid. They've got primetime games, and we like them a lot. Liked them a lot at 25-1 to win the Super Bowl. Let's play the game with your Cincinnati Bengals. The schedule is out. It starts at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's start with you, JP.
All right, so I think this is going to be a win for them. Playing at home, I think they need to get off to a fast start for narrative reasons and all the other things. I think they're going to do that.
Big.
So, Bo, a couple things on this Bengals schedule real quick, and we know it's one of the easiest in the league. Six of their first nine games are against teams that have a new head coach.
Jeez.
And they don't play back-to-back home games, though, until the final two of the year, because they're technically the home team in that game in Madrid, but that's not.
Okay.
So they don't play, which kind of sucks for them. No back-to-back till the last 2 weeks of the season. I think this week one game against Tampa Bay is a win for the Bengals.
I do as well. Now we hit the road to Houston to take on the Texans, JP.
I mean, it's the Texans' defense is what we talked about when we played this game with the Browns. C.J. Stroud's going to have to play well, but I think the Texans will end up winning this one.
Bake?
I have it the same as JP. I am splitting the first two.
I'm fine with that as well. We'll keep it rolling with Steelers on the road on September 27th. Steelers in the Steel City.
I think the Bengals will win this one.
I do too. I think there's just too much uncertainty that early in the year with the Steelers and McCarthy. Give me the Bengals.
I see it that way as well, which brings us to October 4th, home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Joshua?
I see this as a win as well. Jacksonville, I think, is going to be a solid team, but I think Cincinnati, if they're playing their top football, will be better.
Without injuries, it's hard to imagine. Could get a lot of W's in the win column. Go ahead, Bick.
Yeah, I just think when healthy, the Bengals are better.
Yep, same. So we all have them at 3-1 at this point. Heading to South Florida and the Miami Dolphins on October 11th, Jeff Hafley, Malik Willis, and the Miami Dolphins. Joshua.
I don't know how much Miami is going to be trying to win this year. I think they got a little rebuild that they're going to be going through. So I think Cincinnati wins this.
I agree. It's going to take Hafley a little while to get his feet wet down there, and I just think the Bengals are a better team.
Miami's an interesting spot, right? Because I'm with you guys. They kind of were ripe for the tank, and yet they gave Malik Willis a bunch of money.
Yep.
So like that, then you're not really in a position to draft a quarterback, I would think, since you just did that. So I don't really understand their overall plan. The bye week comes early for them. It's week 6, which is pretty early. I don't think teams would want that. So now we get to October 25th, and it is an away game at Baltimore, gentlemen.
Feels like this is a series they're going to split, so I'm going to say the at Baltimore is the one they're going to lose.
I have it the exact same way. I think they lose to Baltimore here on the road.
Samesies. So that means we're back at home, the Bengals are, on Sunday night, Sunday afternoon against the Tennessee Titans, Joshua.
Should be a win. They're going to be a, should be a better football team. That should be a win.
Agree. They're better than the Titans. Win.
Yep. And now we head to the Bernabeu at Real Madrid Stadium in Madrid. This is against the Atlanta Falcons, 9:30 a.m. on November 8th. In Madrid, Joshua.
See, this is a weird one to try to predict, right? Because to me, Bengals should be the better football team. But like, you throw in the travel, you got to go overseas. It get a little bit funky. I'm going to throw this as a weird loss.
I thought about doing the same because of the travel and all of that. And who knows what the Bengals will do over there with their travel. I just think they're better than the Falcons. I think they're a lot better than the Falcons. Give me a win.
I'll say this. Having been around Kevin Stefanski for 5 years or however long he was the coach of the Browns, on a trip like this, Stefanski will be out there on Monday. Like he wants 6 days acclimated. He would do that when they'd go out west. They'd play Denver. They'd fly in on Friday. 1 year they played Denver and then the Rams, the Browns did, and they just stayed out there.
Mm-hmm.
They just stayed on the West Coast for a week. So I think the approaches will be very different here. All of that to be said, though, I still think Cincinnati's a lot better team. I think Atlanta's going to be a little bit of a struggle bus with that quarterback issue. So I'm with you guys. I guess we split that because Joshua had it going the other way.
Yep.
Now we're to Sunday Night Football. The Bengals are at home against the Steelers.
All right. So I gave them the win against the Steelers in the first matchup. They're going to be coming back from overseas. A little bit of a hangover. I could see some revenge playing into this one. I say this is a sneaky L.
Okay, home L to the Steelers.
So your overseas hangover, I think, is something that gives me a little bit of pause, but I think the Bengals sweep the Steelers. I've got to win.
I got to win here as well, which brings us to a road Monday nighter. So the Bengals are going to go Europe. They're going to go Madrid. Sunday Night Football at home against the Steelers, and Monday Night Football away against the Commies, Joshua.
Feels like there could be some points in this one, so I'm excited when this game gets here. I think the Bengals will end up winning.
So I know the Bengals defense is much improved, but I still remember that Monday night game from, I believe, 2 years ago when it was like 38-35 mm-hmm. and Washington got to Cincinnati. And you mentioned the travel. I think this is where it catches up with them. They come back, an emotional game against the Steelers. Monday Night Football, I think the Commanders get the win here.
I see this the same as you. I see this as a loss as well, Bake, which gets us to November 29th. We're back at 1 o'clock, and the Bengals are at home hosting the Saints, JP.
Well, Bake said earlier he doesn't trust the shucker, and I think this is a situation where I'm not going to trust him either. Bengals are going to win this one.
Who dat versus who day in this one? I'm taking who day.
Who did it first, you think? Dat or day?
It's a great question.
I think it was the Saints, probably.
Okay. Yeah. Be very curious which one did it for. Yeah, win there. All right, Cleveland on the road, December 6th. We have to have integrity here. How'd you guys pick this when we did the Browns?
That's a great question.
I picked it Browns win at home.
I picked it Browns loss. I remember that, so Bengals win.
I can't remember.
Well, hold on.
I think Bake has it. Bake probably has it.
There we go.
I mean, he's out there.
Well, I don't think I did each game for.
He's got many sheets.
I think you had him lose. I think you had him win.
I think you had the Bengals winning.
All right. You had the Browns 6-11.
That's what I'm
going with. I think you had him winning. All right. We are back in it. This is your America's Game of the Week. It is Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in Cincinnati on December 13th.
Ooh. I mean, hopefully we get fireworks in this one. If the Bengals are what we think they can be, they've got to win this one at home, right? So I'm going to give them a win.
Yep.
I love this matchup. I've loved every time we've seen Patrick Mahomes take on Joe Burrow. I still believe those are the two best quarterbacks in the game. I'm going to lean Chiefs here. I think the Chiefs get it done.
I think coming off the loss in Cleveland, this is everything the doctor ordered. Fired up on the river. Give me the Bengals beating the Chiefs at home on December 13th. December 20th, back on the road against Carolina, Joshua.
Should be a win here.
There's no way for you, Bo. I'm picking the Panthers. Go Bengals.
Good. Thank you. I'm with you. Bengals again. Bengals take care of business. You're going to catch a little theme in the way that I have the Bengals finishing the season. They are at Indy. December 24th-ish, somewhere around there, right around the holiday.
I'm going to go as a Bengals win with this one as well.
I'm with you, JP. They win this one.
Me too, which gets us to New Year's Eve, Thursday night football. Bengals in a lot of big windows. Thursday night football against the Ravens at home.
I said they were going to split this one. They would go on the road and lose, but at home they're going to beat the Ravens.
So I had them taking the series from the Steelers. I do not have them doing that with the Ravens. I've got a Ravens win here.
I had the Ravens winning in their place. I have the Bengals winning in their place. A win for Cincinnati in this one for me, which gets us to the home finale against the Cleveland Browns. Now, I have them going into this game 12-4. So, then it would depend on, like, what's at stake. But right. We can't really play that game right now. So, Joshua, how do you see it?
What does the integrity sheet say, Bake?
I'm not sure what it was.
I think you said win.
I think you did pick win.
Okay, so let's go with what I picked earlier. Concussions, guys. Sorry.
Bake, you got, how do you see it?
I have the Bengals winning this one as well.
I do, too. I have them at 13-4.
So you guys both have them at 13-4. Mm-hmm. I have the Bengals at 12-5, and I thought I was going to be the one that was highest on them.
The schedule's so easy.
Yeah,
guys, if they stay healthy, how do they? They have continuity in coaching. They've put all the money into it. I know it's an if for them because they're never healthy, whether it's Higgins or Burrow or whatever. But if they stay healthy, there's no dang reason that they don't. I mean, how many games on the schedule are they even going to be underdogs?
I don't know. It's health.
Three?
And they have to start fast.
They do.
They can't sleepwalk out of the gates. But if they're healthy and they start fast, I think they're good.
Yeah. All right. Doug LaMaurice in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Bo could quit today and become the school drop offline coordinator. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are. Joshua Perry in with me today. Time to head out on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Conversation with a good buddy, Doug LaMaurice. The Bill and Doug Show on YouTube and the Substack there. Bill and Doug, osu.substack.com. You've seen A Few Good Men, right?
Yes.
So when you were on last week, when I was done, and when we started the interview, I did not realize at that point that you had done an hour on the 2014 playoff and all of its attributes. So I felt a little bit like Joe Galloway when she kept saying, I strenuously object. And then he goes, oh, strenuously object. Oh, okay. I thought about it a lot. And I can't get there with you because I just don't care about Iowa is kind of what I come back to. And this is one of those things that for me, it comes down to, I think, what means the most to you about, what do you love the most about this sport? And for me, what I love the most about it is, the tightness of it, the immediacy of it. I love the sectional part of it. I love our guys up here better than your guys down there and all of that stuff. And I'm a bit of an elitist, I guess. I just like seeing the heavyweights. I can't be interested in some of these other teams, and I'm not convinced that I will be over time. As you've had some distance from that, and we've got a ton of momentum, basically it's Sankey and ESPN on an island here. As you've observed this over the last week, kind of have you at all changed in your thinking of it, or are you still where you were, that the evolution of this is it's going to happen, it's inevitable, and we might as well get used to it?
Yeah, so the thing of it is, like, what if you were a radio host in Des Moines, Iowa, right? Or what if you were a radio host? But those people do exist, right? So there are so the thing that it is really hard. I do I have not really changed. And again, I'm not an evangelist for the 2014 playoffs. I'm trying to be on the side of, it seems like we're headed that way and it's not going to kill the sport. Like, it's going to be okay. It does seem like the biggest fear is of the 8-4 blue blood, right? That it's the team that should be good that has a mediocre year that gets in anyway, right? That seems to be more the fear, because again, I still go back to, if Iowa's in at 8-4, Iowa fans are super excited, but I don't think it affects Ohio State fans, because Iowa's just probably going to lose in the first round and it doesn't even get to you, right? And so I am also an elitist. I want to make that clear. I am an elitist. I do not care about the little guy, right? Like, I don't, you know, I'm not super engaged to watch G6 football. I'm sorry. Yeah. I think about the power conferences. I think about the Big Ten and the SEC. But I am curious, concerned. I do think about that middle tier, that non-Ohio State, you know, Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, Penn State, and then all of a sudden Indiana jumps up. Like, right, we get that. Mm-hmm. But, like, that next cut in the Big Ten, will Nebraska, will Maryland, will Michigan State, like, I don't know, like, will they ever participate in a 12-team playoff? Like, ever? But they could participate in a 24-team playoff? I do think that still remains one of the pluses to this. And I know if you're not on board with Iowa, but again, I would say, but does it take away from your interest of it from an Ohio State standpoint? Right? Is it ruining anything for you? Is it ruining the regular season? Is it ruining the playoffs if Iowa gets in and loses in the first round? So that's the thing that I really ask.
It only ruins it if Ohio State changes its approach.
I agree, but
that's where it ruins it.
It probably increases the chances of the good non-conference games remaining, because you have wiggle room, right? Like they want wiggle
if they
room.
Do that.
I don't know if I buy that, because there are people already pulling back on doing it right now, and there are fewer teams than what they're being proposed.
But what's being pulled back on right now? Right. So like Georgia, Florida State got pulled back and made a non-conference game. You know, like Bama, Oklahoma State, that was always going to be canceled when the SEC is going to 9. So like we were going back. We did a show this week for our Substack subscribers about the best non-conference opponents this century for Ohio State. Right. So we're going back and looking at 08, 09 USC. We're looking at 05, 06 Texas. We're thinking about all those games. I will say, in retrospect, the idea that Ohio State played Texas in 2005 and 2006, and it was like, hey, Vince Young, come to the Shoe. Well, we lost to you in week two. I guess our national title hopes are over. That is nuts to me. I can't believe that ever happened. Teams were throwing away their national title hopes because they lost a non-conference game in September, because you probably had to go undefeated to get in, right? So now we're going to 12, and if we expand beyond that, like, hey, there's some wiggle room. I believe in, like, let somebody have a bad week, let somebody lose, let somebody play a great non-conference game and lose that game, and you're not dead, right? So, like, I do think there's some panic, right now, but I think if we get to 24, we have a better chance of keeping Georgia, Ohio State in 30 and 31 than we do if you're still at 12.
I don't know if I'm buying that, because I'm seeing Indiana, for example, in their philosophy towards non-conference scheduling, and like, they just, you go out there and win the games. And what Penn State has done in the past, just go out there and they didn't win the games, but win the games. And we watch, if, especially if this is tied to a committee in the future, they don't want to make any difficult decisions about teams that are close in record, but one team has one more loss. They don't want to put them over a different team. They're just going, okay, here's a group of the undefeated teams and here are all the one loss, and just straight down the line. And I think the feedback is telling athletic directors, well, they're going to put us in regardless of whether we play the big game or not. And if we're Texas now, everybody's criticizing Texas after the first week of the season last year because they lost in a close game to Ohio State. I'm just not convinced that we're actually going to get the things that we want out of a bigger playoff field.
But if you're in at 9-3 regardless, right, then I think you're more willing to lose a game in September, because it's not that like, oh, if we're 9-3 and we're going to get sliced off. It's like, well, 24 teams, all the 9-3 teams are getting it. And I like Indiana is scheduling, right? I don't hold it against programs who are trying to non-conference schedule to get the 6 wins and make a bowl. So they're trying to go 3-0 in the non-conference. So 3-6 in conference play gets you a postseason. That's what Indiana was scheduling as. And then all of a sudden they became a national power. Penn State's afraid. Penn State should be punished for the way that they schedule. But the TV networks want it, right? And I do think like more wiggle room. It's one of those things. I just think if you're at 12, and it really feels like, and again, Texas is wrong. It was the Florida loss, not the Ohio State loss, that kept him out last year. But if you stay at 12 for a decade, Texas is going to look at that and say, we're not doing it, especially when the SEC is going to 9. They're going to say they're not doing it. Like, I think that's definitive. Yeah. I think if we stay at 12, there's no way we keep those games.
So I think the one thing you'd have to deal with on this, Doug, and this is, I think this part's very real. You're putting a bunch of trust in a bunch of people that are just going to want to get to this at the easiest way possible. That's what Franklin did at Penn State. And I think that's what people are going to do. They're going to say, what is the surest way to get it? Because they're going to change the narrative of what a successful season is. And they're going to say, if we make the playoffs, that's a successful season. And it's take 3 to 5 years for us to say, okay, you made it, but now did you get to a Final Four? Did you get to an Elite Eight? Did you get to those type of things? And the other thing that I think is going to happen, I think this is absolute, you're going to see load management in college football in a big way. So that goes again to playing those non-conference games. If I'm Ryan Day, I want to get to December healthy. If you're telling me I got to win 5 games in December to win a national title, I want to get there healthy. And I know that my reserves can beat Kent State, Akron, Marshall, whoever in the non-conference. They can beat 3 or 4 of the Big Ten teams in the league. I just want to get there healthy. And that's my pushback to the notion that they're going to keep playing these games, because you're putting trust in people to do the right thing for the sport who just don't.
But aren't we there? I mean, they're already resting guys in the second half against Ball State, Kent State.
But they're not resting them in the Michigan
already,
game.
Right? But they're not going to rest them in the Michigan game. Rivalries will keep college football going. It's a little different than the NFL. Like, again, there's meaning and there's stakes. When you go to 24, in some ways you reduce stakes, right? But I don't think that automatically means that you reduce meaning. And the day when Ohio State and Michigan line up across from each other in any circumstance and people aren't going all out to win that game, I'll be shocked, because there's always meaning. Even if both teams are going to get in the playoff, win or lose, there's always meaning. I think if you stay at 12, or you go to 16 and you keep conference championship games, that's when you're going to rest people. Fernando Mendoza got plugged into the ground by Caden Curry in the first play last year in a game where they wound up 1-2 regardless of the outcome of that game. Like, what are we going to do if we keep conference championship games knowing that the SEC and the Big Ten, but you can't, this is trade-offs. They're not going to get rid of conference championship weekend unless they expand the playoff. They're not giving up conference championship weekend. They're trading it. So in the 2014 model, you're trading conference championship weekend for the first round of play-in games in the playoff. If you stay at 16, it's conference championship weekend where you might be resting people into a 16-team playoff. If it's 24, you whack conference championship weekend, you play play-ins 9 through 24, the top 8 get byes, and then we get to the 16-team main field. That's part of why I'm okay with 24, because I think that trade-off is inevitable. And if you think of it that way, you want to stay at 12 at 16, but tell me like how you keep conference championship games meaningful when you're talking about resting guys against Rutgers. They're going to rest them against Indiana
I would have the conference championship game be, if you have to do it that way, and again, I think 8 is the real number that you should have, but that's a whole nother conversation. We're up against it. I would have play-in games into the field of 12 or 16. So instead of having Ohio State play Indiana, have the 3 and the 4, let's say you have 3 automatic qualifiers and a 16 for the SEC and the Big Ten, have the 4 and the 5 play each other to get the 4 spot.
Because
all of this is just, it's all just inventory.
Nobody liked it.
It's all just inventory. Yeah, but no, they didn't, because they had the 1 play in the 2, too. Like, I don't need to see Ohio State play. I don't need another high leverage game for Ohio State coming out of Michigan.
So it has to be trade-offs, and we're not going backwards. So it's not like, ideally, what does everybody want, right? No, it's like real-world conversations, the trade-offs as we move forward, and I don't think 24 kills the sport. And I do think, like, we cannot only think about it from an Ohio State, Bama, Georgia, Texas perspective. Mm-hmm. I do think we have to think about it for Minnesota going 8-4, getting a chance to be the 23 seed is a gigantic thing. And frankly, it doesn't really affect Ohio State. So
the reality is you're going to be right on this because it's going to go to 24 and none of this is going to matter. So always a good talk, buddy. Appreciate you, pal.
I can't believe it. I was ready for 15 minutes on sleeves, man. Bo, you did it. You've been doing it all week. It's been a week-long victory lap. So congratulations, brother.
Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Good talk to you, Joshua.
Take care. All right. There you go. We'll get three things on a Friday up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place.
This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hair volume from
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Nice.
I can't watch horror movies, but there was something about the Saw movies.
What movies?
What did I say?
Horror.
Horror. Thank you.
Rothman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Line is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable.
The Fan.
They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are. Cavs tonight, a chance to wrap up that series against Detroit and head to an Eastern Conference Final. Be the first for them without LeBron James since all the way back in the early 90s, where they got to one with the Mark Price, Brad Daugherty group, if they were able to actually do that. Bake, what do you have in the poll today?
The Daily Fan Poll, sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. Do you think there will ever be a time when starters get rested for the game? 71.4% say no, 28.6% say yes.
Yeah, I just think, to kind of sum up that conversation, I just think if you are a football coach at Ohio State, would you rather play your studs a half of a game against Kent State or a full game in a bloodbath against Georgia? They're going to take the former over the latter every time. They just are.
I can see.
And I don't blame them.
Where you have a Jeremiah Smith type and you put him in bubble wrap toward the end of the year.
Yeah. Just chill.
Yep. You're good. See you during the playoffs.
Yeah, because that's really what's going to matter is that time of year. You will see it. I think 100% you'll see load management if they do this. All right, time for three things on a Friday.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, number one for me, if you've listened long enough, you know that I have three boys with very different personalities, all three. My middle is Beamsy. He's Abraham Lincoln. He's honest Abe. Like, it's kind of that it. He likes to keep things pretty simple. So NBC, who is not that in most ways, has been on the Snapchat for a while now. And what he does is they use Snapchat to, like, talk to girls. So they talk through Snapchat on, like, basically they call them through Snapchat. And then in the courting process, they send snaps back and forth to each other. If you have kids that are of this age, you know this. So this is the rules of this. If somebody snaps you, you have to keep a snap streak going. If they're dating or if they really like, they'll send a full face. If they're talking to them, they send a partial face. If it's just a snap streak, they'll send like a picture of Buddy Garrity's ear, my golden retriever's ear. NBC put this on Beamsy's phone. It lasted 6 hours, and he deleted it. He could not take it. All these girls were, like, sending him pictures of things, like, nothing inappropriate, but just, like, half of an ear. What does that mean? He deleted it in 6 hours. I went and hugged him. I said, I'm with you, buddy.
Kids are stupid, man. Like,
oh, it's crazy.
This stuff is insane.
It's nuts. You'll get there.
Yeah, I know. And we had Snapchat like when I was in high school and college. And, you know, like I'm familiar, but I didn't know that's how they were using it. It's crazy.
That's how they're doing it.
All right. So my first thing, I don't know if anybody saw this, but in an Atlanta suburb, they had a Waymo issue. So that's the self-driving like Uber type thing, rideshare. And it just, the map took it to this cul-de-sac, and there were like 10 of them that just kept circling this cul-de-sac, and there's no driver in there, and there's no way to get in, and there's no way to stop them. And this kind of goes back to the thing I said yesterday with AI and all the different stuff. We got to be a little bit more careful. Like this, it's starting to get a little out of control for me.
We're already there. Like that thing, that was the best. I mean, that was nuts. What do? You roll up on that.
I mean, you can't shoot a Waymo, I guess, but no. Like, right? I mean, like, slash the tires. I have no idea.
Office space it. First thing for me, and Bo, you know a little bit of this because I texted you the other night as I'm watching Sopranos for the first time.
Spoilers coming, by the way.
Spoilers coming. Yeah. But I mean, this has been a long time. I think we're
good. I know, but there could be people like you. Like, Dylan has just seen it for the first time, too.
I could not believe. I could not believe Richie Aprile's demise.
Stunning.
I didn't know it was coming that fast. And also, Big Sal.
Yeah.
Like back-to-back episodes, both of them gone.
Oh, that's the next one?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe that's how it was. Like, that was a eye-opener for me. Like, I've got to get new villains now in this thing and new...
Well...
I didn't see this coming before season three started.
Now imagine waiting a week for the Richie to the Big Sal.
Yeah.
And now imagine waiting 18 months
for the
to see where you go next. Yeah. Yeah. Woo. It's a different world now. I love that series. It's incredible. Number two for me, I heard this last night. I was watching live at the PGA Championship on Golf Channel. Really great show. And they were discussing this Walter Hagen kind of approach to the PGA Championship, which was play the first three rounds at Pebble Beach, and then take the top 16 and play a match play at Cypress Point and have it be the first major. I don't think Cypress Point's ever going to host a match play. I don't think that it's ever going to be the first major. But I sure as heck do like the idea of the PGA Championship differentiating itself from the others in a way. And I think a match play would be really cool for the weekend. They're playing right now at Aronimink. This just feels like a U.S. Open. It's that difficult. It just massive rough. It just feels like a U.S. Open to me, and the scoring reflects. Might be time to rethink that, and I thought that was a pretty damn good idea.
I'm here for it. I think innovation in golf is something that's needed. All right, so here's my second thing, and this is a callback to the beginning of the show when we were talking about people and time management. So Miles Turner on the Game Recognized Game podcast said that Doc Rivers wouldn't fine people for being late. And it got to the point where they would have a flight that would leave at 2, and guys just knew not to show up until 3, 3:30 because it wasn't leaving until at least 4. That would be my demise as a professional. I could not be a part of that.
No, that maybe that's why they lost.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere on your Friday afternoon, guys. The Ohio Cup starts tonight as the Cincinnati Reds are up in Cleveland taking on the Guardians. Rothman and Ice going to have Jensen Lewis a little chin music with J. Lou coming up at 2:30 today.
You have that to look forward to, which is very nice. No time for three. We're back Monday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on The Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FIRST.